The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
We're going to skate to one song only. Lady Humph by the Black Eyed Peas. What you going to do with all that junk inside my trunk? I'm going to get you drunk. Get you drunk off my lady hump, my hump, my hump, my lovely lady hump.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
It's over. All the endorsements, everything gone. Oh my God, I can't get a real job. It'll kill me.
Paul Perillo.
Is that your routine or a performance of Cirque du Soleil? Besides, you're too late. They already handed out the girls' medals this morning.
And Andy. And Andy?
You an official here? Because you have officially given me a boner.
Andy Hart.
Ah! Nutsack!
Hey! You gotta be careful, man. Unlike you, I actually use these things.
Hey, look, I didn't mean to drag your balls into the discussion. That was uncalled for. They're fine. I overreacted.
Eric Scalavino.
So how'd it go with your lady? Carve up any ice? With your wiener?
For now, anyway.
Mind-boggling, isn't it?
Did you just say mind-boggling?
Yeah, mind-boggling. You know, when things are so crazy, it gets your thoughts all trapped like in a bottle.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
From here on out, you guys are a team. Do you understand? You are going to eat together, sleep together. You are going to pee together. You're going to file a joint income tax return. Practice starts now.
With the 29th pick in the 2014 NFL Draft, the New England Patriots select Dominic Easley, defensive end, Florida.
You want to turn your mic on?
My mic's on. The red light's on. Oh, Kevin.
Kevin's scrambling.
I can hear you. I can kind of hear me.
I can hear Andy.
I can hear me. I don't think I can hear you.
You sounded a little dulled.
Can't hear me?
Yeah, we got some issues. But as Fred tried to pull off, we are our first post-draft edition.
Nope.
All ready to go, Stall. I got nothing. I got nothing from Fred.
And a very special. Oh.
I'll try to play the role
of
Fred.
Crackling.
That
can you hear me now?
That made some crackle
it's
noise.
It's that thing.
Okay. There's a bad connection.
Well, I was just going to pull a. My Fred Kirsch impersonation. A lot of activity around the stadium. A lot going on. A lot of excitement.
We're an embarrassment.
Okay, go ahead, Fred.
As in short a sentence or words that you can think of, how would you describe this Patriots draft?
Futuristic.
Futuristic. Okay.
Eye toward the future was exactly what I was going to say.
All right.
Yep.
Any reason why they think they went that way?
Well, because they didn't really tap into what I think we all agreed were immediate needs.
Right.
Most of what they did seemed to we talked a lot about the 2-year plan. Well, certainly you could look
at
to
heart.
You could Andy. You could look at the first pick as a 2-year type plan. A, he's hurt, but B, he could be the replacement for Vince Wilfork, Tommy Kelly, the centerpiece of your defensive line. Obviously, the quarterback is at the very least could be a 2-year plan to replace Mallett as the backup, and then maybe a 3 or 4-year plan to replace Brady. You know, they didn't go after tight end, safety, pass rusher early in the draft.
Do you think they would have if those guys had fallen? That they liked or a tight end that they liked?
We have to assume that they pick by their board, right?
Right.
We get rumblings every once in a while that they reached for this guy and the scouts were mad because Bill took somebody who was blah, 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 blah. But we have to assume they picked by their board. So, yes, maybe it would have been different had Pryor dropped.
Yeah, so do you think they went into this draft thinking, we're just going to look to the future, or do you think that's just the way it fell?
Well, they say it's just the way it fell. Like, specifically the offensive linemen, the 3 offensive linemen, Bill just said that's the way it worked out as the draft was going on. You know, and I actually read Jim Trotter wrote a story that, at least in the first round, based on everyone he talked to, this was a year in which the teams went by the board as much as ever. Based on every position, you know, that the draft unfolded, basically how most teams had the board, had the grades. Teams didn't reach as much for quarterbacks.
Who said that?
Jim Trotter, citing different guys he talked to. I think Keim might have been on the record, the Cardinals GM, but that this was a draft where teams went by the board as much as ever.
No one reached.
Assuming that's true, and that's an assumption.
Yep.
What would you make of that?
What I make of it is they should always be going by their board.
Well, but what
right?
it was based on the quarterback position, and it's basically said, I think there might have been a quote from somebody that said, we've all decided to treat the quarterback position like every other position. Go by the grade, not by the reaching for a guy who might be a franchise quarterback that the draft from a couple years ago where Locker, Ponder, all those guys went in like the top 12. They were all reaches because teams were lusting to try to find a quarterback rather than going by what the grades told them. Mm-hmm. And that teams have decided that's not the way to go.
Right.
And you've also seen teams succeed with quarterbacks that did go probably where the grade put them. Russell Wilson, you know, Andy Dalton, these guys that were second or third round picks. And so maybe teams, Patriots, you know, he's a second round pick. That's where his value lies. Right. So I don't know. I mean, that might be much ado about nothing. It might be a nice thematic, you know, well-written but BS piece.
I'm wondering again, assuming that the Trotter piece is accurate, and that's what a lot of teams did. I would say it probably is an indication that the way that people talked about this draft heading into it was accurate. It was a very deep draft, and you basically couldn't go wrong. You stack your board as you seem fit, and you're going to get a good player if you stick to your board. You're going to get a good player. You don't have to reach for a position because there's a good player at another position that you can take, and that's the way I would look at it. But to your point, Fred, yeah, I mean, you should always do that. I think it's very easy to say that in principle. You should always take the best player that you have available.
Well, you
should
trust your scouting.
But the best player that you have on your board isn't always the best pick for your team.
No, but you should trust your scouting.
Need is part of it.
Need has to be part of what you do.
I mean, we do it in mock drafts. I don't really want to take that guy.
You know, Jimmy Garoppolo in the second round in 2005 would not have been a good pick.
Right. It'd be a waste of a pick.
You could make an argument for it today. I still don't like it. We'll get to that. But
I have a feeling we're going to get into a few arguments today.
No. Well, I'm sure of it. I'm sure that we will because you've had, you know, time to sort of get your
slurp the Kool-Aid
your story in line. But, you know, obviously 10 years ago when Tom Brady is in the very prime of his career, taking a quarterback because he's the best guy on your board is not a smart pick.
Right.
That's the only point I was trying to
make. I'd agree with that. All right.
So who's the most exciting pick? Paul Perillo.
The most exciting pick they made? I'll say
Paul
James,
not excited
I'll
by
say
his
James
draft.
White. I mean, I think Easley can be very good, but I'm a little scared by it. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little scared.
Now, when he walked out yesterday, are we going with boxer shorts were riding up on him or he was limping?
I'm going to tell you.
I think he's knocked me.
Well, he was definitely.
He was walking funny, but I sometimes think these guys don't wear suits, suit pants, and they're not comfortable.
No,
you walk funny in a suit. All of us that don't wear suits.
But I think
I was going to say he was definitely limping, but that's not fair to say because I have to see this guy walk. He might be Teddy Bruschi.
Right.
I would have definitely said if I watched Teddy Bruschi walk out right now, he's limping. But
now.
But in 10 years of watching him, that's the way Teddy Bruschi walks.
Right,
maybe that's the way Easley walks.
Now, reaction number two, which I heard, did you think he looked small?
Well, someone in the organization,
yes,
not a power broker in the organization, said, what did you think of the safety the Patriots drafted in the first round?
Right.
I didn't think he looked that small.
Well, he might be one of those guys that have to work to keep weight on.
But he's not a fatty.
No.
He's not a
fatty. He's a 280.
No, if you look at his
film. Well, he's listed at 288. He did not look 288 to me yesterday.
He looks like, you know, very athletic defensive lineman. He's not a big, you know,
but
we used to looking at defensive tackles and seeing
and
guys.
And that's the point that Andy was trying
like
to make.
That.
You're comparing defensive tackle to Vince Wilfork.
Right.
Yeah.
He is not the same position as Vince Wilfork, despite the fact that they're both defensive tackles.
That's right. And that's why, you know, when we talk about, you know, they found a replacement for Vince Wilfork maybe next year or 2 years down. Well, not really. Not for that position. They found someone.
Well, for that position, but to play the position differently.
In a different way.
Exactly.
Which is what excites me.
Right.
And to be aggressive and penetrating and up the field and violent.
Right. And that would have been my knee-jerk answer to Andy's question was easily because of that, but I'm a little afraid of the boom or bust nature of the pick. I think if he stays relatively healthy, he's going to be a very good player.
Yeah.
This guy, I think, has special ability.
I think boom or bust is the way to go with him.
Oh, yeah.
Because,
I don't think he's going to be a meh.
No, yeah.
It's either going to suck or he's going to be a star.
Now, do you think that there's any chance that if he stays healthy, he's not going to be a star?
No.
Not really.
Yeah. See, I feel the same way.
I think
way.
He's a pretty athletic.
I think if he stays healthy, but he's going to be really good. If he doesn't, then he's going to be a bust.
Well, the only thing I'll say is by stay healthy, I mean return to his athleticism.
You might not know.
You know what I mean? Like,
it could be one of those things that
he could be out there, but
he ends
just
up
not
playing, and he never tears an ACL again, or he never has a quote unquote knee injury again. But was he sapped of some of his athleticism?
Right? Did he lose a quickness? And
you know, I had a talk with my brother about this pick yesterday. As I
and
was
you know what his brother knows?
Oh yeah.
What is my brother?
I don't know. I just think he's plugged in.
You've got a little Bill Simmons to you. So I was talking to my dad about the pick.
Well, I don't do a whole podcast about it. I just happen to mention one line. I mean, I don't have him in, to, you know, so I can have my multimedia empire.
So dad and I were watching the
become
draft.
A millionaire based on, you know, watching games as a season ticket holder with my father. But I digress, as I often do.
So what'd your brother say?
Just a lot of the stuff about the just the athleticism. He's a guy who relies on beating the guy off the snap. Explosiveness.
Right.
Bill used the word. He's a disruptive, explosive player several times Thursday night.
If you don't have that speed and explosion, then you're not the same guy.
But he returned from it once. We know he did it once from the ACL.
He got it back. He was still a productive player the first time.
Can he do it again?
Right.
And we'll never
and
really know.
That? And can he stay that way?
But we'll never really know.
Right.
Because we never really watched him in person all the time. And it's not like they're going to tell us, well, you know, his 10-yard time went way up. Like, we're never going to know what we should have been seeing. We'll only know what we are actually seeing and it not working.
Well, if he's not explosive and disruptive, then he's not working.
And I know, but then maybe he's just not good enough. Well, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, he might. Yeah, he might be fully healthy and just not have it. But we won't know.
Something else that's interesting, I thought, NFL.com has a story today that just takes it for granted that there were trade talks with Mallett and the Texans. This is by who's
Glennon.
Chris Wesseling. He's an around-the-league writer for the NFL.com. The Houston Texans didn't address their quarterback deficiency until they selected developmental project Tom Savage, blah, blah, blah. Does that mean the Texans will end up rekindling talks with the Patriots regarding former O'Brien pupil Ryan Mallett? NFL media insider Ian Rappaport told Don Helly on NFL Total Access on Monday that there is still mutual interest in a Mallett trade. So people can go and read the rest. But
or they could go to our blog and read it, please.
They're just taking it for granted that there was interest, there were talks, and that they could be rekindled. So
that's been widely reported and then widely poo-pooed. So I don't know what the truth is. Because everybody, you know, it wasn't just Tom Curran who said Ian Rappaport backed it up. There was another national site that said on Thursday that there was some sort of something going on with the Patriots in Houston. And then I believe on Friday, everybody poo-pooed it. Texans never called. Rick Smith, we never talked to them. They never talked to us from the Patriots.
Right.
But now it's back again that it's rekindled or whatever.
If something happens, you would assume it would happen pretty quickly because you want Mallett in your camp.
Well, that's what
you know.
Ian said, that May 27th, the start of the Patriots, like on-field OTAs, would sort of be make or break time.
Right. So
either he's here or he isn't.
I mean, what do you guys think?
I mean, Bill shot it down.
I don't
obviously.
Think he's going to get traded.
He didn't really shoot it down.
Well, no, but he kind of did.
He kind of did.
He didn't say no. No trade room. No trade talks. But
why don't you go ask the guy who wrote it? He seems to have
all the answers.
And he was very.
That's a way to deflect having
terse.
The answer.
He was pissy.
No, he was very. Yeah, I agree with Andy.
I think he shot it down. I think Mallett's going to be here, but who knows? Maybe they didn't talk, and now. But how many quarterbacks is Houston going to add?
Well, that was what I wanted to ask you guys. I've heard a lot of things out of Houston. Bill O'Brien supposedly wants to have a veteran quarterback with the group. Mallett's not that. I mean, I know.
But isn't
he's
that Fitzpatrick?
I know he's exactly. I know he's going into his fourth year, but he's not a veteran.
No,
he's like a rookie.
He's never played.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, for all his flaws and warts, and he has a lot of them, at least has starting experience in the league for what, 3 years of starting experience, maybe,
and
two
mild
and a half
stretches of success.
Yes, he can be more than adequate as your guy to hold the, you know, the place for whoever they deem is the next guy. Is Tom Savage any more of a developmental quarterback than Ryan Mallett is right now?
I know. I don't understand where everyone's coming up with this, you know, that he's the number one backup in the league right now. I heard
it's because he's
say
a Patriot,
that.
And I don't mean this disrespectfully. I think the Patriots.
I think it's the rep he came out of the SEC with.
But I think it's just the opposite in terms of, you know, like the Patriots, when you're tied to this program, Andy loves when I use the word program. I think that you get inflated by it. And I think that people want to get, well, he was there. He was with Brady. He learned from the best. He had great coaching with Bill Belichick. I want some of that. And I think that's why it sort of gets
how many
blown
times
up
has
a
that
little
worked?
Bit. It hasn't worked at all. But
I mean,
you,
the only
don't you
Castle.
Feel like that's accurate though? If you don't, you don't.
Well,
have
I also
to agree
think they're tying the Bill O'Brien thing, which I think is funny because he was only here for his rookie year, right? And then he went to Penn State for 2 years.
Yeah, they also I saw our buddy John McClain mentioned George Godsey, who was the tight ends coach throughout the time. So that's, you know, some good intel he might have there.
Yeah.
Because I think I O'Brien know. Saw a raw guy, and he might not know that he didn't develop. You know how we've kind of been like...
No, but to Paul's point, Godsey was here last year. He
no,
saw
I know,
enough of
but
him in practice where he would say, you know
years.
What? He's got the potential.
O'Brien brought Godsey here. Godsey's been here the whole
yeah.
time.
Oh, Godsey's
no,
been here the whole time.
No, but O'Brien wasn't here
right.
last year, and
or
Godsey
the year before.
Was. And
right.
so he's seen the progress.
What progress?
That's Fred's point. That's why he doesn't think it's
yeah,
going to happen.
I said in
Godsey would have seen what we saw,
right.
you know, which was a lack of development, whereas you just said
see, that's
Bill
where
O'Brien
I was thinking
know.
You could snow Bill O'Brien because he only saw the 1 year with potential and didn't see that the potential never led to much in year two and three, but
right.
Godsey would be the one who said,
right.
listen, Bill, he didn't really get better.
I just
or,
look at a guy, I mean...
We don't know what we're talking about, and he did, and
we
they saw it
about.
In practice.
What we're talking... We've been very good at these things on what guys are.
Right.
We watch practice pretty closely, and I'm not saying we're 1,000%, but we get a pretty good feel.
I saw improvement, and the improvement came in just confidence from the guy, just a little bit quicker decisions.
Yeah, I didn't
but
see
But, you know, we still saw the accuracy problems. We still, you know...
I continue to say the only improvement I saw is because he had Tebow looking worse next to him and made
well,
him look better.
It could be. Or we're
I
also comparing him to Tom Brady.
I
well,
think
no, there's moments. Definitely. He's had a little bit of that where if he goes after Brady, he looks like poop, and if he goes after Tebow, he looks, this guy's not bad.
Yeah, and I think that was definitely part of it. Mentally, it's
but do you remember?
It seeps into my mind.
I continue to go back to, we had that discussion with Castle. I can remember it like it was today. We were sitting in the side bleachers in some stupid passing camp, and they didn't have any jerseys on, and we said, you know, like, if you look at Castle and you look at Brady just throwing, there is nothing distinct that would tell you future Hall of Famer, guy who never played college football, right? So, you know, there was some, you wouldn't say that with Mallett, because he can't throw accurately enough. Whereas Castle, it looks, you know, and I'm talking about no contact, no defense, just sort of, you know, drop back in drills and throw. Castle and Brady don't look all that different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it. Listen, I think that the sidelight of the draft with that whole Mallett thing, I thought was one of the fascinating elements. But I don't know, I don't know exactly what to think.
Yeah.
Because I sort of agree. He didn't really say that's not happening, but he certainly was mad enough, I thought. You don't see him really evoke that much venom like that, and he was irritated,
you know. And of course the Mallett talk got heated up because of the second round choice
because of Houston's lack of a second round choice,
right? And I still think it's fascinating Belichick's answer on day three,
the situation we have at quarterback,
the whole thing about, you know, not choosing to have the philosophy of, you know, if our number one quarterback goes down, we're gonna lose.
Oh, the Bill Polian evisceration,
right?
You know, some people look at it differently.
I thought that was fascinating because no one let him into that answer.
Oh,
he
God,
chose,
no.
That was definitely on his mind, and he chose to offer that up to the media.
I can tell you both Mike Reese, who asked the question, and I had the exact same expectation. We were going to get some sort of Jeff Hostetler, Phil Simms answer about a backup and still winning and something like that. We did not expect the Colts to get brought up and Bill Polian the evisceration. Now, I have a question about that. I know Bill Belichick probably hates to lose. I'm sure that's part of his core, hating to lose. Would he have legitimately been upset to go 2-14, which, by the way, not 0-16 Bill or 1-15 Bill. They did win two games. You were overly negative. Would he have been upset to do that and then land Andrew Luck?
I think it'd be bittersweet. But, yeah, I think that during the season – you know, it just shows that I don't have the depth. I am dependent on one player, and I didn't put together a team that can survive the loss.
But
of
was it, my question is, was it a commentary?
I'm with Andy on this. I know where you're going, and I agree.
I think it's a commentary on, that's not fair. That's not right what they did. Something stinks with what they did.
I do. I think Polian deserves a lot of criticism for tanking.
Right.
And I think he tanked.
Well, depends which side of the coin you're on.
Because they knew,
man, he deserves a lot of praise.
They knew more than they let on about Peyton's
health. I'm being a nice guy. I'm saying that they didn't tank.
I think you proved that they tanked by having a rookie come in the following year and win 11 games. That team was nowhere near as bad as it played that year. They lost every game they possibly could because Andrew Luck was the
prize.
And
I think Bill thinks that's wrong.
And I think Bill has a problem with that philosophically.
I do too.
And I think that's why he's made a couple of different unsolicited remarks to it. And good for Bill for calling him out, because I think that was an atrocity.
Right.
With Polian.
That gets back to my...
And I have a lot of respect for Polian as a talent evaluator. And right. I disagree with you about the lack of depth of that team. And I think that was proven the very next year, when with a rookie quarterback, they won 11 games.
But the question was, how would Bill feel about losing a quarterback and going 2-14?
No.
If it was on purpose. I mean, if it
wasn't. And getting a great. Oh, I think he would hate it if he just goes 2-14. I'm saying.
That's what I mean.
What would he have what would he think doing it and getting Luck? And
because
I think he doesn't want, it's distasteful. I don't think he'd want to do it.
So you're saying tanking and getting Luck. Yeah, I don't think he likes it.
Well, I think that Polian knew more about Peyton's situation heading into that season than he let on. He easily could have had Kerry Collins in there for training camp and had him ready to go and back him up. And he didn't. And then all of a sudden he thought it might look bad.
It was too perfect a storm. We all agree, I think, that the Colts did nothing to try to
have a
good record.
You know, and not that people would not really care about this, and who knows, maybe it would have been exactly the same way. But if you remember, Peyton was always backed up by a guy named Jim Sorgi. Do you remember Sorgi?
Sure.
Sorgi? I don't even know how to pronounce his name. I don't know if he would have. He probably would have gone 2-14 too. Okay? But he was their longtime backup for a few years there. And all of a sudden, he was gone that year. Now, look who they've gotten for backup quarterbacks. Right now, Matt Hasselbeck is Andrew Luck. They had Curtis Painter.
Right.
Well, but now it's a different GM, you could argue. He has a different philosophy.
No, like, but I mean, they had a guy who was
behind Peyton
Manning for a couple of years, and then all of a sudden, he's gone, and they didn't replace him until the eve of the season, when all of a sudden they decided, hey, Peyton might not be able to play in the first game. We should probably get somebody in here. I think I know where Andy's going. And
the whole thing was very strange because, they had that season, and then the guy who we would assume was the architect of the tank is gone. Doesn't even get to enjoy the fruits of his labor, quote unquote. And so maybe Irsay said, you know what, I don't approve of what you did. You're gone.
Well, I think.
See, I think that's.
I think it all came down to keep Peyton, don't keep Peyton, and that was a power struggle. I think Polian wanted to keep Peyton.
But
see, I have a problem about it from afar, but the closer I get, the less of a problem I have. If I'm a Colts fan, I'm okay with it.
Well, yeah.
If I'm the owner, I'm okay with it.
But
you just set up my business interest for the next 15 years.
That's my whole thing about not rewarding failure in the draft.
And that's a problem, but that's a high level problem.
Right.
My duty is to do the best thing for this franchise, this team. And it may stink, and I may have to step on some people to do it, but he did the right
thing. He swallowed the gun.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So.
It's kind of like people were criticizing P.K. Subban for trying to get a penalty for Thornton squirting him. I have no problem with that. To me, he's in scramble mode where they're down a couple goals and he's trying to pull out a win in any way he can. Beg for it. Beg for it all you want.
Screw P.K. Subban.
Oh, that's because I know you.
All right,
you're one of them Bruins fans.
We got a lot to talk about.
I think he's a great player, but I don't think he acts like an ass on the ice.
Oh, he does all the time.
Patriots made.
And I would have had a problem with it in the first period, but at the end of the game, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
I don't care about
trying to win a hockey game.
It's amazing he was able to continue after not being able to see for a minute and a half in the middle of the shift.
Trying to win a hockey game,
and as the Beatle pointed out yesterday, our illustrious host of the pregame social, Mark the Beatle Bertrand. He's not going to talk about it, but, I'll let you guys talk about it. I know if I squirted the water, it would be, 3 days of talk, but I'm not, it's part of the game, and I'm not, in 5 minutes later, I'm still not going to be talking about it, but don't worry about it, because I'm not going to say anything. Shut up.
That was one of Beatles.
They doused him with bleach in the middle of the game. I don't know what happened. He got squirted with water in his visor.
You know who would have asked for that penalty? Thomas Brady.
Yeah, I
does it all the time,
and
I thought it was stupid.
And
if
what do you
don't want to get squirted with water, stay away from.
What do you
the bench.
Think when Brady does it?
In the first quarter, I don't like it. But again, I'd say if Brady does it in the playoffs with the game on the line,
you don't like it.
If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
You don't like it.
Well, trying to win a game.
Fred made a good point too. If Subban doesn't come over to the bench and start woofing every 10 seconds,
right?
You know, he doesn't get scored.
Right. It's it was a big
and,
deal
and
about
it was
nothing.
A terrible. I thought it was a terrible thing that Thornton did.
I kind of like it.
I don't like that nonsense.
I didn't think it was.
I think hockey's the only sport where you still have some of that crap.
If I was the ref, I would have said, "Stay away from the bench, and you won't get squirted."
They might have said that to him. Maybe that's why he whined like a little baby.
Yeah. All right, Patriots made a whole bunch of picks besides the first two. They had 9 in all. So we're going to get to all of them throughout the show. Webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. 855-PATS-500 is the toll-free number. So let's get right into it. We're an email and caller-driven show.
When did they install a bowling alley above us?
I don't know. They're rolling kegs or something. right now, we should say... rookies are out on the field right now.
Five of them.
Meeting the media. Eric's out there.
Including Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah.
Is one of the five.
Or Garoppolo.
Really?
Yes.
I got to go. I'm only kidding.
You got a thing for him?
He's got a little Garoppolo in his pants.
Word on the internet is he's attractive, like Brady.
Nothing to do with his looks. I like his play. You know?
You did. He was your guy. He's been your guy for months. You fell in love with him.
Yep. Warren in London writes, and I have to say this draft baffles me big time. I'm not sure why in a so-called deep draft we take defensive line player has no knees and we waste a second round pick on a QB who may be good, but we will never see as he will never start a game for our team. And if he does, it will be in over 3 years time. Imagine any one of you guys not doing radio for 3 years. You may have watched one of the best in Andy, but when you go back on the radio, you won't have the skills. When we trade out of the third, what a complete waste. I'm so glad I didn't stay up to watch it. Regarding the QB, I feel the person to replace Brady still isn't on the roster. I feel sorry for this kid as he may never achieve his dream of being a starting NFL quarterback. As for Mallett, let's just trade him now and move on. As for Bill, I suggest he has gone from a very, very good drafter to a man who has drafted players. Fred, there is no need to send the guys to the combine as we don't draft players we need.
There was a little bit of me reacting to that. Every year I go through this thing where I think of how much time I spent reading,
I really
watching,
with,
listening,
with that, but
and what happens? We draft guys I never heard.
I'll finish up the email. I have to say the first two shows were great. The chat around Eric sleeping at 9:30 on a Friday was classic. I have to say I laughed out loud for a good few minutes. Luckily, I wasn't on a train to work. As for day three, like the draft itself, please don't do such a long show again. You guys were doing it on fumes and not having Fred.
It's
should
supposed
have...
to be a two-hour show on day three. I was a.
Oh, you guys went longer?
Well, yeah. We advertised that we were doing it 12 to 3 instead of 12 to 2.
Jackie helped us go longer.
You know what I'm saying?
See, I don't.
She made it
everyone.
She made it a bigger show.
See, everyone's saying, you know, the Patriots did not draft for need. They needed a backup quarterback. And they also need a guy who, you know, someday will be ready when Brady's gone.
Needed that or wanted that?
Well, but Warren just
said
he's
not the guy. Well,
why
wouldn't you want
that? Well, everybody would want it, but did you need it?
Yes.
Okay, you needed it. More than you needed a tight end, so than you needed a safety, more than you needed a pass rusher.
I think backup quarterback's pretty important.
Backup
position.
Or third string?
I don't.
Backup.
Because that's the first question. Is he the backup or the third string this year?
You don't draft a guy second round if he's not going to be your backup.
Oh, really?
And
because I don't think that's a fait accompli, as they say.
And hopefully someday a starting
I think there's a chance he's the third string quarterback this year.
Well, then.
I think it's an open competition in August.
Then they made a mistake. Then they drafted poorly.
I don't necessarily agree with that. If he doesn't beat out Mallett right away, that's a mistake pick.
If they think he is great, it's not a mistake on any level. I don't care what role he has this year, if they think he's great. Now, they can screw it up like they have many a second-round pick, but if they think he's great, I'm fine with the pick. It's like I said yesterday. Does anybody think the Packers screwed up by drafting Aaron Rodgers? You don't think that the Packers could have used a first-round pick that could have played immediately with Brett Favre? Yes, they could have, but no one on the God's green earth is going to argue they screwed it up.
Especially that year when they went 4-12.
They've set themselves up for the Super Bowl. I mean, for the Super Bowl for a decade, potentially. They've won a Super Bowl. They've one of the best quarterbacks in the league, so no one is saying they screwed that up.
Yeah, but they didn't screw it up, and I don't think... But
people are saying the Patriots screwed up.
I don't agree with that.
I know, but people are saying it.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is, it's based on, is he a good player? Do they think he's a good player? Is he a good player?
And that's all
those two things.
My thing on.
Doesn't matter whether his role this year or next year, whatever it is. If he's a good player, it's a good pick.
But
I would agree with that.
And they think he's a good player, obviously.
Obviously.
Right. And he will play for them someday.
I don't know that to be true.
I think
if Brady does not have any slippage, despite what Paul may say, if Brady is dominant for the next four years,
there's a chance that he will not play for you.
He'll sign an extension.
He's got 4 years
on
his deal.
And trade the other guy. Now, do I think that's going to happen? No, because natural progression is going to say Brady is probably going to slow down. Paul may think he already is slowing down, and however it unfolds. But there's at least a chance that Brady signs an extension.
What people aren't even taking into consideration is, let's say Brady does slip, but Garoppolo's not good enough to take his job.
That's another possibility.
Then he
well, then it was just a bad pick because it was a bad player.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
But everybody just says, you know,
bad scout.
But I don't agree. If he's not the backup this year, it's a bad pick.
No,
that's not true.
No, even though I don't like the pick, that's not. He doesn't have to be the right away, you know, out of Eastern Illinois, come and overtake a guy who's going to be in the league for 4 years. He doesn't have to beat him out right away.
I think.
Are you sticking with that?
I think he has to show he's better than Ryan Mallett.
Like sight unseen, first day.
No, I mean eventually.
Somebody's vibrating.
Yeah.
That will be it. Absolutely. He will have to be better than Ryan Mallett. Otherwise, they'd keep Mallett. But that doesn't mean he's going to be better than Ryan Mallett.
I will not be stunned if they have three quarterbacks.
Not on day one, but he's like Brady. He's eventually got to leapfrog anybody that's on the roster.
Well, he won't have Mallett to leapfrog because potentially Mallett, at the very least, leaves next spring.
But we don't know. I mean, I'm talking about this year. We've got to see development, or not us, but the coaches have to see development you know, this guy was worth taking a second-round pick for, you know?
Well, this could be moot. If Rappaport's right, Mallett could be traded tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And then he's the backup quarterback.
And then Fred doesn't have to
worry. But I don't mind the pick. I love the pick. I think they like this guy. They went after him. And, you know, for a couple different reasons. Because of the backup situation and Mallett's, you know, contract. And because, you know, hopefully they liked him enough that we think this guy can be a replacement for Brady
someday.
But
can I eliminate part of your – I get your enthusiasm for this, and to your credit, Fred, you don't love Garoppolo because they picked him.
No,
you were on Garoppolo for whatever reason, you know, way back when, you know. But so I'm giving you credit for that. But I don't like the pick more because they liked him, they targeted him, they went after him. I assume they do that with every guy they pick. They like a guy, and that's why they picked Rasai Dowling at the top of the second round.
Yeah, but
they targeted him.
Oh, I'm not sure that's always true.
Yeah, people criticize the Patriots. I'm not sure that's always going and just getting the guy they like.
I think sometimes they just say, "Oh, yeah, we kind of like him, but we kind of like two picks in the second
and
too."
We
might be able to trade back three picks, and there's really no difference between him and him.
But Rasai Dowling wasn't one of those.
No, but I think they do that often in the first round. Often.
I just think that generally when they sit at a pick and they pick a guy, they didn't pick a guy they don't like. Like, I don't give them credit for targeting a guy.
No, but that's
two different things, though.
But you're saying
there's a difference between
identified this guy and they like him. I mean, I'm not giving them credit for that.
But this guy was clearly somebody, you know, like Andy said, sometimes there's a pool of players within 10 slots.
And how do you know that wasn't this guy?
Because you don't draft, with Tom Brady on your roster, you don't draft a quarterback in the second round unless you really, really like him.
It
would make no sense to pick from the pool of players the quarterback.
Right.
That would be down on the list.
Right.
I know that I am not disputing that they really, really liked him. I don't give him credit for that. Of course they really, really liked him. You guys think they don't usually really, really like the guy. I always think they really don't.
See, that's not what we're saying.
I'm saying them, and they've said it.
But sometimes they really like about 10 guys equally.
Yeah, and I don't have any knowledge to know that that's not the case here.
Mm. I don't think you'd take a quarterback with Tom Brady on your roster if that was the case.
I don't either.
Because they really, really liked the quarterback and they thought that they could get a backup for the future?
No, if they had 10 guys rated about equally.
One of them was a quarterback that they thought they really, really liked. Why wouldn't they be rated equally
if they really, really like him. If there was 10 guys rated equally, they would not have picked the quarterback even if they didn't move down. Why would you? Why would you take the position least likely to perform for you for multiple years?
We can move on and disagree. I don't want to get in a semantic argument, but I see it a little differently than you guys.
You always do.
No, I don't give them credit for picking a guy they liked. That's not part of why
I do, because I don't think they always do it. So I'm giving them credit for it.
I do. I guess maybe that's why I think they're good drafts.
I've asked.
Because I assume they pick guys they like.
but they don't always.
Maybe that's why
they
I'm
trade
wrong.
Down because they say, "Well, we had these three guys, the other, and we thought we could move back." And blah blah blah.
We're going to get a lot more into it. The other guy, the other pick I like was the center, the big center, Stork.
He may be the best pick.
Yeah,
he's going to start. He may be the first starter out of this draft. Actually, you know what? I'm going to deem him definitively the first starter.
Really?
Well, you just look at how it unfolds. I think he has a chance to start this year, and at the very least, will start next year.
Do you think Connolly becomes a training camp cut? Or
I think either one of them could be out.
Yeah.
Connolly or Wendell. Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily say just Connolly makes money. If they can put together the best roster with Stork at center and Connolly at guard, then I think they'll do that. Yeah. But I think he's going to start really quickly.
Yeah, I don't think Wendell can play guard.
No, he can't.
So.
Oh, okay. So he's the other guy that I like. I like those three. The other ones, I mean.
The other six picks, eh?
Yeah, no. Honestly, maybe they could pan out, maybe not. You know, the.
Zach Moore?
I like James White, the running back. I think he was a productive guy. The only thing I'm worried about, and Andy.
He's 5'7".
No, that's Jeremy Gallant.
Oh, Gallant. No, not the receiver. How big is White?
He's a smaller back. Yeah, he's not 5'7".
He's not 5'8",
5'9".
5'8".
Yeah.
Aren't they all?
The one thing that does worry me is the Wisconsin, the pedigree. I mean, they have a traditional running offense. They've had a number of productive running backs that produce in that system.
5'9" and an eighth.
And not all of them.
See, I attribute
all
Wisconsin's
of them
success to running to their line.
That's what I'm saying.
He's also a pass catcher.
That's one thing that worries me.
The line isn't giving you that.
He's a pretty versatile guy.
He's a much more versatile than like any of the big backs that have come out.
I like him. I like that pick.
You think that pick was a result of they're mad at Shane?
No. I think we all said they were going to take a quarterback. We all said they were going to take a running back. You know, we said they were going to take some other stuff too.
By the way, we all said third, fourth, fifth round running back, and they picked him in fourth.
Fourth,
right?
I believe.
I mean, he was projected to be a
the only thing we
pick.
Didn't know would they take a guy like him or a bigger back that's more of a traditional Ridley. So they clearly kind of have a secondary that's more leaning towards Vereen.
Yeah, the other two offensive linemen I'm not crazy about, just from what I saw. They could be better than Stork for all I know. Gallen seems like he's got great hands, but
he's a college
player. 5'7", 5'8".
He's a college player.
He's not like Jeff Demp's fast.
Nope. Not quick. I didn't think he's overly quick, overly fast, and when you're 5'7", that's not a good combo.
Right, but he's got great hands.
He'll have CTS. No, what is it?
CTE?
CTE.
CTS. I would also add that just how many do you need? How many little slot receivers do you need?
Yeah.
You know, if he pans out, who are you getting rid of?
Right. Amendola.
So you're pulling the plug on Boyce?
Well, I don't put him and Boyce in the same.
No, I just that they have
Boyce
several.
Is fast. He's
they
slow.
Have several slot receivers. How many do you need?
Six
would be my question. I would say one.
They're little and they get hurt a lot, Paul. You got to have them. You know, run them out there.
You know, and then they picked up a bunch of undrafted free agents on Monday, three of which are tight ends. So
we're fine. They filled the void. We're good.
Right.
You know, we'll get Dustin Keller, who you know has one ligament left in one of his knees, and we'll get a couple undrafted guys who've combined for like 10 catches, including Asa Watson, Ben Watson's brother, who has a heart issue.
Right. So, are you upset that they didn't draft a safety and a tight end, or either or both?
Upset, not necessarily the word. I told you one of the things I guess I'll take from this is they think Gronk's going to be ready to open the year. They don't need to fill a void. Maybe they don't see a void. We have a starting tight end. We have a backup.
See,
tight
I
end.
Still think they need a second tight end. You know,
I do too, but
you know, Omanawa knew he's okay, but
he's not really okay. He's a third tight end.
Yeah, really, he is.
But the need is much greater if Gronk isn't ready to start the year.
Oh
obviously.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
Now you don't have a one or a two if you use your philosophy. Safety, I wanted, but clearly they have hopes, and I thought Bill was pretty open with the idea that the defensive backfield is just a bunch of moving pieces, and they all have to cover and. You know, kind of the Logan Ryan talk, Daron Harmon talk. They drafted this Jamia Thomas kid that's played safety, corner, nickel. You know, clearly we're going to see a lot of different permutations of the defensive backfield. We know who the corner is going to be, the one.
Yeah.
You got McCourty and you got Revis.
How do you feel about that?
What?
Because I agree with you. That's the way Bill always talks. You know, like they're defensive backs. They all play.
Well,
I mean,
do you think they
might actually need to get guys that can play the position
If you look at the defense right now, the weak link is that safety position. But it could be now they feel they're so strong around that they can cover that up. You know?
And it may be different. You may see more playmaking from McCourty because of what you have at corner.
Right.
Maybe Harmon makes the strides or what. I'm not totally sold.
And
I'm
he said they're going to look at Logan Ryan in camp to see.
Yeah, that's great. I don't need to look at him to see that. He's not what I want at that position. It may not be what Bill wants, but he's not what I want.
But that's part of what I was talking about. Like, instead
I'm
of just
Robbie.
Saying,
I want
I
a hitter.
Move
I want
a
day
old. Him there, and he's athletic enough. He can do it. You know, sometimes can you just take a guy who, you know, plays safety, and that's what he does. And we don't have to worry about the other, you know, the four downs and, you know, all these different things that he can do. He can just do this thing.
And just because it succeeds this year doesn't mean he's right. Because there's a chance that Browner and Revis are just really good, and they kind of transformational.
Yeah, that's Fred's point, though. You know, they can, right. they're so good they can cover it up. I don't look at that as being really a possibility, that they're so good that they can.
Well, I mean,
you know,
if McCourty's as good as everybody tries to say he is.
But do you think
and
that?
Revis is as good as everybody says he is, which
well,
I actually believe.
Revis is as good as everybody
and
says.
And Browner comes back at a high level as a number two. Okay, yeah, you have one spot.
That's another
where,
guy I don't think is as good as everybody says he is.
No, he might not be.
I don't think Seattle's in the business of letting good commodities go for nothing.
All right.
So that, you know, I think Browner is good. I don't think he's great. I think it's right now it's Revis and Browner. Revis and Browner.
Well, no.
Revis
oh,
and
yeah.
Browner.
There's
it's
a lot
Revis.
Of Aaron Hernandez Gronk
exactly.
in that.
It's
one's
Revis.
Good, one's elite. Don't try to confuse them and put them closer than they are. And I'm not even sure that Browner is as good as what Hernandez was
I
in
don't
that
think
duo.
He is.
He may be. I don't know. I actually think there's a chance he ends up in some sort of like a platoon where he and Dennard are like size matchups.
I could definitely
right.
see. I could definitely see
that
Dennard.
But that's a luxury that they will have.
No, no, no.
As a
their
game
secondary
player.
Will be right. better.
Their secondary is going to be better. Yeah. There's no. I mean, you.
Their
you
safety
upgraded.
Position, just because you have a bunch of guys you think you can move around, I'm not buying you better. You would have been better with Dayon Buchanan.
You've upgraded. But the
you see where he went, Fred. First round. Eric's see where back. Anthony Barr went.
With
first
a,
round
with a mustard colored V-neck.
Hey, my guy D Ford went before the Patriots had a chance to pick too. Andy.
Eric's back. We're gonna get to the phones in a second, so hold on there. But Eric, you just came from meet the rookies out on the field. How did that go?
Met a few of them, yeah, including your QB of the future, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yes.
Wide-eyed kid right now, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Is he taller than he's supposed to be?
That's how he was at the combine.
He looked
overwhelmed.
He looked
kind of
tall, yeah.
Because he's 6'2", to me, is not tall for a quarterback.
No.
And every time I see him,
he
looks tall.
Yeah.
Which I don't know how that happens.
That's average size for a quarterback,
right.
not big.
But he looks tall to me.
He looks
but
tall.
I remember I said it when McGinnis hugged him. I thought he looked tall next to McGinnis. That's why I asked, how tall is McGinnis?
He looks closer to Brady's size than I would have
That's what I thought.
Yeah. Brady's 6'4".
Yeah. Yeah. Where's he getting his extra 2 inches? Do you have lift shoes on?
No.
How was his hand length?
He actually had his hands folded.
Because he didn't want anybody to see how small they were.
Because that, I heard
supposedly
some people were talking
hands,
about he doesn't have huge hands.
Right.
Yeah.
But, my first impression of him was, like, everything is just, wow. You know,
well,
like even.
Well, he is actually in a stadium.
No.
He's used to playing.
He's actually one of those players that came from a program that doesn't have as good facilities.
Right.
As
true.
Right.
One of the few.
True. Yeah, true. Because, you know,
he played at like a little field.
Well, some of these Alabama, it's unbelievable.
He described,
the palaces.
He described the atmosphere in Foxborough as being really exciting.
Well,
you know,
he hasn't
it's not even
the
a game
guys
game.
Yet.
Right.
Yeah. I did enjoy a lot of that draft weekend. I'm looking forward to getting to Boston.
You'll fly to Boston.
You'll fly to Boston, and then you'll get and drive 45 minutes south.
So what's that freedom trail?
At least it's an upgrade over the people that didn't know where, you know, what state is New England,
right.
You know,
yeah.
Which
right.
happens true. From time to
occasionally.
Time.
Also talked to Benjamin Watson's younger brother,
yeah.
Asa.
Did you quote from him?
I got like 5 minutes of quotes from him.
Did you see his heart at all?
I didn't see his heart.
Did anybody ask, like, see his scar?
He did talk a little bit about it, but he was
getting worked up, so he had to pause for a minute.
No, but it's funny. He was a very low talker, and he started at the same time Garoppolo did. So I went to Garoppolo and then was in the back for Watson for a little bit and really couldn't hear what he was saying too much about the heart. But it'll be on my recorder. I was,
right.
like, reaching in. But
does he look like him?
I don't think if you saw him, you'd be like, oh, my God, it's, you know,
is
spitting
he shredded
image.
Like
but he has some similarities.
Is he like?
He's top five.
Not really.
Benjamin Watson.
They're all wearing
top
these,
five. Bomb.
They were mostly wearing these baggy shredded. T-shirts, though, so it was, you know, a little hard to tell. Your boy Jalapeno Pepper was out there with the hair in full effect and the tats on
anybody
the arm
to him?
And everything. Oh, yeah, everybody.
Oh, did they talk to him about his
pectoral injury?
Yeah.
Torn pectoral.
Jalapeno?
Yeah.
I didn't really jump in on that too much. There was
Because, you know, I was looking at his tape, and I'm like, you know, he's not impressing me. He's, yes. he's kind
of
a stand-up guy,
last year with a
not playing to the whistle sometimes. But then I find out he had an injury that sidelined Mayo.
Mm. Stork his shoulders, yeah. why so, he couldn't work out.
Stork evidently had everything.
Yeah. You know, he was a medical exclusion.
Yeah. Amputees. You know,
oh, that's the one thing, by the way.
Lost a finger, right?
He might not be the first to start if he's on, like, PUP or something, because he does have a lot of injuries.
Yeah, that's the problem with Stork.
Shoulder, without saying, shoulder problems. This draft class.
And the last one they made available was Zach Moore. Not a lot there.
Well, I mean,
not a whole lot there.
He was academically ineligible for Division I.
He was a non
failed out his second year.
He was a non-qualifier.
Was on the scout team, had to redshirt because he wasn't academically eligible for Division II.
Yeah, oh, I know. I know the story.
But he seems like a nice guy.
Yeah. Oh, they all seemed nice.
He seems like a nice guy.
They all seem really
nice. I have an affinity for him. He's one of my picks. They're like your children when you get these picks.
Right now they seem nice, you know.
Soon they'll be a-holes.
Well, some of them, when they get into the program,
I
got to
tell
deeply,
you, some of them don't seem nice. Cameron Fleming, he's one of my picks. I think he's an a-hole. From everything I've read. He just seems like an a-hole.
Oh, well, you'll find out on Thursday.
An overconfident, arrogant, elitist a-hole.
Okay.
By the way, Jimmy Haslam told,
very nice guy.
You know, nice about Johnny Manziel, he should start acting like a backup. This isn't Hollywood.
Right.
So,
who said that?
Jimmy Haslam.
And if I were Manziel, I'd say, trade me. I thought you brought me here to sell tickets.
I did.
I thought you were very happy that you got 3,000 new season ticket sales the night you picked me.
And then throw
either
it
I
in.
Threw my money sign or you get the hell out.
And then throw it in. I dare you.
And by the way,
I dare you.
I'll be here longer than you are. You're going to prison.
All right, let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. These guys have been holding
on. Right
on
foot with the ownership.
Right. Andrew's in Buffalo. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, what's going on?
You know what's going on.
You're excited, as you
Yeah, man, I'm so upset, you know, that we didn't draft the safety. I mean, I think that's the biggest position to need. I don't know, like, they probably just going to go with Harmon. You know, I don't think the kid is that much of a bad player. Because of the people around him, the other players, but I feel like, you know, I wonder if Bill Belichick even tried to trade up to get Deion Buchanan. I mean, he was only a few picks away. We could have gave up something next year to get him. I mean, what do you feel about that?
I doubt it. I don't think they targeted him as a first round pick.
Yeah. Oh, and don't forget, the opinions that we give, or that the so-called draft experts give, aren't necessarily the same as the ones that the scouting departments have across the league. They could have all thought that he, like Andy said, wasn't worth the first
round
pick.
My guess is there are people that thought he was a second round pick, or maybe even an early third round pick.
Yeah.
But
I'm getting really happy because it's like, we're about to get him, and then you see, like, you know, the Cardinals get him. I'm like, wow, I thought he was a second round pick. And they got him early, but that's why the NFC West has always been tough. They get these guys that just know how to make plays.
And that would be my other thing about you bring up the safety position, and we were just talking about it. They'll fill it with bodies or whatever. Weren't we all saying, well, maybe with Easley, and maybe they're going to be more aggressive on defense, and Revis, and they're going to be a different... Well, then get a safety that you can be aggressive with. Get a safety that'll be an impact guy. Because I'm sorry. Maybe I'm selling him way short. I don't see Daron Harmon as an impact player. I just have seen nothing
see
to indicate
year,
to me
sure.
that he's an impact
just
player.
Just a guy that knows how to, you know, that probably wouldn't get beat all the time.
Right.
He's not your actual playmaker.
Right, and don't we already have one of those in McCourty?
We have, yeah. It's like we got everybody that just knows the system, and they're really good guys. They know how to play the game, but they're not playmakers. They don't make impact plays.
Exactly. And if we're going to try to become a playmaking defense, I feel like you got to have as many playmakers
maybe,
as possible.
You know, again, we go back to Revis and everything, but maybe with this new personnel, McCourty's role changes a little bit.
I think he'll be more aggressive.
Yeah.
I think you're going to see him make some plays. I do. Because I don't think he needs to be center fielder quite as much.
Right. So maybe they're feeling, we've got that guy. Now we turn him loose.
But I think he's more of a back-end Ed Reed. I was looking for a front-end Troy Polamalu.
Okay.
You pair those two together, you get quite a secondary.
Yeah.
All right.
One more thing, guys, before I hang up.
Can they cover punts?
The linebacker, Michael Sam, I know he's with the Rams. And I'm really happy for him, but they have a lot of depth, they said.
Yeah.
That he may not even make the team unless, you know, he's really good on special teams.
Yeah.
And I see a lot of upside with his pass rushing ability. So if he was to get cut, do you see the Patriots making a move? Because he seems like a guy that can really get off the edge really fast, but he doesn't have a lot of pass rushing moves, like
nope.
a bull rush. But I could see some upside. I could see him, you know, filling in for Nikovic so you don't have to play 80 snaps a game. Like, what do you think?
He is very limited as a pass rusher. He needs to get the edge. He does that decently on occasion, even though he doesn't have the greatest measurables in terms of 40 and speed. He does have a knack for just getting the edge. I could see us taking a flyer on him if he doesn't make the... I think he's going to make the Rams. I do. I think you signed on for a little bit of an investment in Michael Sam in terms of the gay guy, the football player, the pass rusher, everything about him. I think you signed on to give him a chance.
Thanks, Andrew, for the call.
Yeah, I think if the Patriots wanted him, they would have taken him. I mean, they had 9 picks. He's available. 7th round. I agree with Andy. I don't...
But I think that I could see them taking a flyer on a guy like that. I mean, practice squad.
Yeah.
Are we going to talk about that at all?
What?
Michael Sam. The coverage, the kissing.
I could care less.
I have a question about it. What did Don
so
Jones...
Care less.
I couldn't care less.
What did Don Jones, the Dolphins guy, tweet that he got fined for?
Two words. OMG, horrible, or something. Which is my criticism of him.
I don't think you should get fined.
If you're going to go all in and you don't believe in it, maybe you're religious, use all 140 characters. Don't just take something that may be critical, maybe misconstrued. Go all in and say, I don't approve of this in any way, blah, 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 blah. But no. And then did you see the other guy, the basketball player, the college basketball player, that was very critical of it but then claims it was a scientific experiment? I have a gay friend who's thinking of coming out, and he wanted to see what the reaction would be to my critical tweets, and I'm not buying one thing about it, but you're not on.
That's not even as good as I was hacked.
Right.
No,
go with I was hacked.
I agree with Fred. Right. It's not as good as I was hacked. I disagree with the guy. I mean, it's nothing horrible about it, but because a guy disagrees with me, he should be fined. Like,
well,
he doesn't share
remember,
my...
it's also the Dolphins.
No, I know, but if he doesn't
so
share my views, he should be
very
fined.
Very sensitive to whatever's going on in that locker room right now.
Now, I get it. I don't like it.
I don't like it.
All right.
I always find it funny what we all react to. Like, I didn't like that Donald Sterling was immediately banned for life and lost his team. You know, I had issues with that being sort of slippery slope and what do you do, blah, 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 and let your sort natural course take action, blah, blah, blah. And I didn't have a problem with the guy in the Dolphins because of the situation being reprimanded.
Right.
And Paul, I just find it different, like, what is the needle or what moves the needle, so to speak, with all of us on these issues.
That's
yeah, I should stress that didn't really move the needle. I just disagree with him being fined for it. I just don't think there's anything.
Don't worry. Arthur Lynch is going to straighten out that locker room.
If he had said something like, there's no place for that in the NFL and he doesn't belong. I'm glad we didn't pick him because I don't want any part of him in my locker room. Fine away. That's different.
I just think he's an idiot for not actually saying anything and still getting in trouble.
Right.
All right.
Like fault started 3 times because he wasn't sure. Is it on? Is it off? Do I need to put it on?
All right. Let's take a break. I'm just waiting. Are you done?
I am done. Thank
okay.
you.
All right. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. And by the way, thanks for lunch. Michelle living in Los Angeles via Australia.
Oh, new listener?
I guess.
We're going to have to talk more about that when we come back because
yeah.
I don't get it.
Thanks, Michelle.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go.
Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of Domino's. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. Your Boston Bruins are in the playoffs, and Ace Ticket has your seats to all the games. Be there at Boston Garden for all the playoff action. Ace Ticket is the official ticket partner of the Boston Red Sox, which means you will always get the best seats at the lowest prices. Ace has your tickets to all of this summer's biggest concerts. Luke Bryan, Billy Joel, Zach Brown, One Direction, and Katy Perry. Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit Ace Ticket. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
This is at St. Thomas the Apostle School in New Jersey. Ronald Robinson.
Good Catholic school.
He came back to
Ronald
class.
Ronald Robinson. Was it a fight or were you being
No, what bored? Happens was, we would always have, there was always two groups. One group played keep away, or back then we called smear the queer. Which
yep,
you
me
could,
too.
Which you couldn't call
no,
today.
We played.
And then the other group would play
it.
Football.
Probably shouldn't say
yeah,
it.
Yeah, one group was play football. So one time I was in the group playing keep away, and Ronald Robinson in the football said, oh, you guys are pussies playing that game.
I guess we're just going to say everything today.
So then,
it's realism.
So then a couple weeks ago, it was opposite. We were the ones playing football, and they were playing keep away. And I said to them, oh, who's the pussy now? So Ronald Robinson, who was tall at that time but thin, came, you know, we're like, you know, chest to chest. He's like, say that again. I'm like, who's the pussy now? And he punched me in the jaw. You know, and I remember, I can remember this like it was yesterday. I remember thinking,
obviously.
Boy, you know what? That didn't really hurt that much. And if I attacked
So
him,
he was a pussy.
Yeah.
Wait, you just because he said it twice doesn't mean it was okay.
And I was thinking to myself, if I attacked him right now, and I kept myself from doing it, and I shouldn't have. I did the same thing to Richie Campanella. I dared him to say something, and he did it. And I socked him in the stomach and doubled him over.
That was Story Time with Fred Kirsch.
Oh, there's no other part to that? Because usually sometimes you go to that and then there's like a follow-up.
Okay. Well, I didn't know if you had socked anybody in the
No,
break.
But I took a bite of my cookie expecting just a few more seconds. But I guess I didn't get that. All right. Back here in PFW in progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com. VIP strippers.
Wait, does Michelle have an email?
No.
Not a phone call?
Not that I see, Kevin. If,
she said she might call in around 1 if she can get free from work.
Okay. Well, Michelle, if you need it, the number...
She's in L.A., Indy.
She's in L.A.
She's Australian, but she's in L.A.
855-PATS-500. That's her number.
Yeah. That's the North... You Mexicans are very much appreciated and welcome. It's North America. Mexico, U.S.,
Canada. You're all welcome, including the Australian in L.A. Is she hot?
Interesting. Strippers emails us. It said Don Banks had Houston taking Garoppolo at 33. They can't draft David Carr's little brother Derek in Houston, can they? The Texans avoid that media firestorm by taking a quarterback they clearly were interested in for the past 3 months.
That would have been a story. Great story.
That's where Banks had Garoppolo going, 33 to Houston.
Imagine if they had taken Derek Carr.
That wouldn't be good for him.
Wow.
There were reports that Houston was going to take Garoppolo at the top of the second round. I don't know how valuable, substantiated.
That's what you just said, at 33.
I mean the third round.
Oh, the third round.
Yeah, I didn't mean the second round.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about, well, those reports would have been called wrong. We don't know if they were going to take him at the top of the third round because the Patriots beat him to the punch. Billy O liked the same quarterback as Billy B.
Right. Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Daniel's in Charlotte. Hey, Daniel.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today?
Great. How are you?
Hey, good. Hey, Andy, I just wanted to tell you congratulations on finishing the marathon this year.
Thank you.
And, you know, I hope you guys know how good of a show you've got. I mean, literally, I schedule my sales calls around y'all's shows Tuesday and Thursday.
You're not all that successful, are you?
That's great. I hope we're not hurting your bottom line.
Not at all. Not at all. I'm an overachiever.
We're underachievers, so that balances everything out in this call.
Just a couple thoughts on the draft. Number one, the Stork, no pun intended, has finally brought me what I wanted, and that's a big center. I'm sick of all these smallish centers we have, but hopefully the trend changes now.
It does. He is going to start sooner rather than later. I think he's a really good player, and it's definitely a change. We were talking about that, I think, on the draft show. Maybe Mike Compton was kind of the last bigger center they had, and he wasn't even that bulky. He was just more tall. This guy is this is not your typical center build, and Bill talked about it. I don't really know why Bill talked about it, because the question he answered wasn't the question asked, but he kept raving about how Stork is a big 300-pound powerful man, and we've talked about Mankins is powerful. You know, you think he's good. He's your highest paid. But then those other two, Conley and Wendell, what's going on in there? Can you get by with two questionable guys in there? Well, maybe Stork becomes now a tandem with Mankins, and now maybe right guard is a little bit less of a, maybe that's the developmental position for a Jalapia or whatever, Jalapio on a steak.
I was telling my friends before the draft that this is kind of the draft where I hope that Bill goes kind of away from our typical preconceived Patriots notions of, you know, size, proposition, and different stuff like that. And I think easily Stork and then this guy from Georgia Tech, he kind of did that because I know you want Buchanan, but this Thomas guy, he's got a little honey vinegar in him.
Yes.
So he's very versatile, which makes me think, we'll never see a Rodney Harrison type safety again.
I'll never say never, but I'm not sure they're looking necessarily for it. If the guy falls in their lap and he's really good, whatever. But you're right. It certainly gets the feel that they may not be looking for that right now. Now, of course, they signed Adrian Wilson, so that was what he was supposed to be. But maybe as this evolves, maybe he doesn't see the need or value.
Do you think that, like, Bill looks at the way the league's changing and said, you know, how good to me is this hard-hitting safety who's going
to
be fined every game and penalized? Maybe that's not the emphasis anymore, you know?
He has to, because he never would have drafted easily before. He has never drafted a guy like that. Never.
Well, certainly not in a 3-4, but
well, we've never drafted a guy like that in a couple ways. We've never taken as that big a risk in the first round with an injury risk.
But we've also
never taken the penetrator, the athlete, the kind of player he is either.
Right, and we've never, ever taken a guy that we spent so much attention on prior to the draft. Everybody knew they wanted him.
Really?
Everybody knew it. Yes, everybody knew it. I mean,
yeah, I'm not sold on that belief. They wanted a lot of people. They worked out a lot of people.
Certainly
they spent time with a lot of people.
Tackle was on a lot of people's radar.
There was a lot of people pretty convinced that they wanted Easley, so much so that I never thought they'd pick him.
Huh. There were a lot of people throwing that out there, and they were certainly interested, but I think they were interested and showed interest and worked out a lot of other guys, too.
Obviously, they worked out a lot of other guys, but either way, I appreciate you guys giving me so much time, and I guarantee Gallon makes the roster.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
All right. Thanks, Dan.
I'm getting inundated with these Gallon lovers. We got one upstairs in the office who says he's going to be the best player out of this draft. Well,
Dan's on his way to a sales call.
Who said that?
Guy upstairs.
I think it's somebody in finance, Kenny Keller.
Kenneth Keller the third
in our area.
He's from Florida. You need any more information on him?
Yeah, you want to get his social security number?
He buys Paul lunch regularly. Yeah. Well, picks it up. Sorry, doesn't buy it. Hell no, doesn't buy it. He's looking for a free lunch.
But I also like the sort of the change already when they drafted everybody. Like Fred said, it was sort of an eye to the future and some developmental guys, because there weren't a lot of open roster spots in this team. They probably looked at it as there weren't a lot of jobs to be had.
Who said that? Okay,
a lot of people said that.
Who's a lot of people? Give me one.
I don't know. 3/4 of our emailers on.
Oh, you mean emails? I thought you meant like.
I mean, Albert Breer said it today on the Sports Hub this morning.
We're just assuming that all 7 undrafted players that made the team last year are going to make it again.
Yeah,
this
and
year?
All 15 rookies.
Okay.
In general, they're going to.
I mean, that's fine. If those are really the core of your team, if they're all really good in locks.
But what I was getting at is now you're starting to hear some people. And I apologize. I forget the caller's name. That's our salesman,
Dan.
Dan, just said, you know, and now you know he loves Thomas, and guarantees that Gallon will make the roster. So all of a sudden we have like 6th and 7th round picks that are going to be on the team that didn't have any holes to fill in the first 2 rounds.
By the way,
with potential first 2 round players. So.
Both of those guys definitely have the potential appeal to what I would say Patriots fans, the overachiever, try hard, little guy, root for him.
Thomas, I think, has a legitimate chance because there's opportunity. Gallon, to me, is going to have to knock everybody's socks off to make the team because I just don't see where he fits. At 5 foot nothing.
Pretty much anywhere. He's small. You can squeeze him into anywhere.
5 other 5 foot nothing guys already here.
Let's talk to Michelle, who bought us lunch today. Hey, Michelle.
Hey, guys.
Hey, girl.
Thanks for lunch. That was great. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's delicious.
You're so welcome.
And you allowed me the opportunity to try something new, too. I went with the buffalo chicken wrap, and now I know that it's phenomenal.
Hey, girl.
Good, good.
So what are you doing in L.A. from Australia, mate?
I'm a scientist. I got recruited to work in a big hospital here in L.A.
Oh, nice. What kind of science? What are you studying?
I do genetics of diabetes.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
She's a smart lady.
How are you like it? How long have you been in the States, and have you liked it so far?
Yeah, I've been here 7 years. Sometimes LA's not the best, but I do like it here. It's my home here now.
Oh, nice. You're married.
So how did you find out about this show?
Oh, sorry, Eric. She's married.
And even if I wasn't married, Eric would not be the right person for me.
If I had a dollar for every time I heard that, I wouldn't be working here.
Here we go.
I have some really good friends here that are from Boston. A bunch of my friends are either from up there or went to school up there, and that's how I got into following the Patriots. And, yeah, so I've been listening for, I think, maybe 4 years, but I'm normally at work on Tuesdays and Thursdays, so I can't call, but made a special exception today and ducked out.
Well,
nice.
We appreciate it. That's great. Thank you so much.
And you continue to prove. Everybody upstairs, we have certain people that tell us, oh, all the people that listen to your show are in their mom's basements and they're idiots and they're dorks. Everybody that calls is a highly successful professional, scientist from all over the world, rocket scientists, geneticists. Once again, we prove we have a high IQ audience.
So, Michelle, what did you think of the draft?
You know, I didn't get to see a lot of it. I just read the sort of synopsis results that came out. I think it was kind of interesting. I liked that they picked so many offensive linesmen. I think that looks good for keeping Brady safe for a few more years.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting. If you look at it that way, I hadn't really. Do you want to keep Brady safe, or do you want to grease the skids for the guy you drafted in the second round? If you keep him safe, he's going to stay here longer.
You know, I think we've been so spoiled with so many years of an incredible quarterback. He may be the best quarterback that's ever played.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be so hard to replace him. So hard. I'm very frightened for when that time.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I feel. I mean, he can't win, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Right.
Because you look at it, and I said this yesterday. Tom Brady is haunted by Tom Brady's legacy because he won 2, 3 Super Bowls in 4 years and 10-0 record and the high expectations. How do you think Garoppolo or whoever is going to be haunted by Brady's legacy?
Right.
He can't win.
I think it's going to be impossible. It's going to be very, very hard. So I don't. I think hopefully this is just a way to get mallet out at the end of the year and you know, have someone else warm the bench. But so I liked having the offensive linemen, you know, recruited. I think that was good. I think the lack of wide receiver is a little scary, but I think we proved last year we can get away without a superstar there.
Yeah, that concerns me. Because when Gronk's on the field, you can get away with a lot. When Gronk's not on the field, you can't get away with anything, it seems like.
Yeah. It's gonna be interesting to see what happens.
Yep, it will. Well, Michelle, thank you so much again for it's buying us lunch and calling in.
And listening.
Yeah.
Thanks for being excellent. A smart and taking a shot at Eric.
And throwing an insult around.
Yes, that was the best part of the call, Michelle.
Anytime.
Do keep them coming.
If you're in town, let us know.
The lunch is in, the insults are.
Yes, if you're ever in Foxborough, we'd love to get together.
Yeah, let me know and I'll stay the hell away from you.
She might have a friend.
Yeah, she could have
a
friend.
Thanks, Eric. I'd appreciate it.
All right.
Oh. Thank you, Michelle.
Thanks,
see you, Michelle.
Wow, she'd appreciate that.
She's close to getting a screw you bitch. Very close. Wow.
Well, I think you just pulled an Andy and gave her a screw you bitch.
You know what I was going to say?
I was going to say screw you bitch.
But in all seriousness, though, Andy, you made a good point during the call that, you know, Brady has his own legacy. Garoppolo will have Brady's legacy. But I think that's, an advantage that Brady had coming in as a starter here. He had no legacy he really had to overcome.
He didn't mean it like that.
Yeah,
that was good.
I did, actually.
Oh, no, he did. That stupid smirk said he meant it like that.
Yeah, he didn't give you the smirk until you...
That was a setup.
Do you buy into that at all? Now, obviously, Aaron Rodgers did it. And I mean, is there anything to it's like, you can't. You have to be elite to do it.
I think it's a convenient excuse for those who fail.
Well, it's...
Do you know what I'm saying?
But, yeah.
And I'm not saying that it's irrelevant, because it's not irrelevant. And it was even hard, you know, like, all joking aside, Brady did have something to replace that a lot of people thought was pretty good. Now, in retrospect, he was so much better. Now, if he failed, people would sit back and say, well, you know, it was really hard to come in. He was replacing a guy who was so popular. Well, if you have it, like Brady had it, like Rodgers obviously has it, you can do it. And I think too often you look at it and say, you know what, he could have been a really good player, but, you know, he had to replace, you know, like Steve Young replaced Joe Montana.
But again,
can do it if you're good enough.
If the pressure of the guy before you and what people expect you, in the media and fans get to you, then you're probably not
suited. The guy.
Right.
But that would have
manifested itself in a different form in a different situation. Like you weren't the guy.
It's right. Like your Easley thing. You're never going to know if Easley didn't get the athleticism back.
Right.
You might not ever know if the guy who failed because he didn't have it or the pressure got to him. It was too much for him to...
But if the pressure's too much, then some form of pressure was going to be too much.
That's why I think it's a little bit of a convenient excuse for those who fail.
Try 2 minutes to go in the fourth quarter down by seven.
Now, I do think...
Well, that's his own separate issue, because I'm pretty sure the pass rush is going to come faster in the NFL than it did in the... Is it OVC or OVL or Ohio Valley Conference?
I think it was the Ohio Valley.
OVC.
Right? Yeah.
Good football up there.
But... there's a lot of different ways, and look at Andrew Luck. I mean, I think Andrew Luck replacing Peyton Manning, obviously he had, you know, I think RG3 replacing Peyton Manning would have been a disaster, because I think mentally, the first time someone said Manning wouldn't have made that throw, he would fall into a cocoon.
Right.
I don't think he has the toughness that Andrew Luck has, the mental toughness. And certainly, you know, Brady, Rodgers, those guys, they have that little chip, you know, that they use for motivation. But
Rodgers is pretty thin-skinned, too, though.
But he uses it as motivation, because he always thinks they're trying... Right. He's
but he, early
wrong.
On, he had some...
And he wrote it a little
bit. Yeah,
later.
A little bit.
Yeah. Let's go to Silvio in San Diego. Hey, Silvio.
Hi, Fred. In regards to Garoppolo being the third string, I think that's actually a good thing. And the reason is because if they want to trade Mallett, then... They're not going to make Mallett look good if he's a third-string quarterback.
Well, I think if they're going to trade Mallett, it's got to be, like Andy said,
now.
By May 27th. Otherwise, he's just going to hang on, and he's you know, either going to get cut in training camp, or they're just going to let him ride off into the sunset after the season.
Yeah, you're not going to trade, you know, September 4th, you're not going to be able to trade Mallett after he has a good preseason.
Right.
Because everybody would say, why are you calling to trade him? I'll just wait till you cut him. And then
right.
I'm not going to give you anything.
I think he stays, and he's going to be on the roster.
I do, too. I think he's going to be the backup, actually.
So they'll have three quarterbacks for the first time in how many years?
Maybe. Three.
It'll be
first time in 3 years.
Yeah. You know, that long 3 years ago.
Since Mallett's rookie year.
But, you know, Garoppolo might have a sore arm at the end of training camp. He might have shoulder tendonitis.
Oh, the Hellenic flu.
You never know. I'm not saying he definitely will, because you probably want him to get practice reps, but things tend to work themselves out on occasion. You know, he's got to get used to a different ball, throwing the NFL ball, small hands. Got issues there.
How much bigger is the NFL ball to college?
No idea. I think the isn't the NFL ball they
it's
say
a little narrower.
Yeah, it's long.
It's longer.
It's more. What do they call it? A spheroid?
Yeah.
It's a little spheroidal. The NFL ball is longer, and the college ball is shorter and fatter.
Fatter in the middle.
Yeah. College ball's like Andy.
Shorter and fatter in the middle?
Yeah, it is what it is. All right, go ahead, caller.
So when you guys come to San Diego for the Charger game, where are you going to be at?
Your mom's house.
But,
sorry, I'm just kidding. I have no idea. I don't even know if I'm coming. Fred hasn't even finalized all of whether we're having a...
We don't know.
Eric and Fred will be glad to join you.
We don't know where we'll be staying as of this point.
Yeah, it's too early to tell, Silvio.
What's that?
I'd love to meet Eric and Fred.
Well, there's definitely...
Screw you.
No doubt there's going to be a huge party Saturday night before the game.
And where is that? Or is that undecided?
It'll be highly publicized, Silvio, on the Patriots Tailgate Facebook page run by Barry Insiong. So go and like that page right now so you can keep up with all the updates. But I guarantee you by the time of that game, you will know everything you need to know, and you'll be able to – we'll be out there, Eric and I, and perhaps Paul and Andy. We'll see.
And Fred will like a margarita top shelf.
Yeah, no salt.
No salt.
All right, no problem.
All right. Thanks, Silvio.
Top shelf.
Let's go to Virginia. Olivier. Hey, Olivier.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Bonjour, Olivier.
Hey, bonjour.
Hey, comment est-ce
oui? I have to say that this draft was incredible, and the best part of the draft was the 6 or 7 hours that you guys produced during those 3 days. You were fantastic. One of the best shows I've ever heard you produce, by the way.
You're just sucking up.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Because we sucked. I thought early in day two, we sucked. We were very herky-jerky. And day three, we were less than at our best with Jackie.
That's maybe how you felt because you were drained and you were tired and all that stuff. But you produced a quality, funny show. I can guarantee
you. I often tell Fred that we're even better than Fred thinks we are.
I didn't listen to it live. I listened in the podcast like the next day, and it was hilarious. So, you know, you guys did a great job. Don't associate the shape that you were in with the product that you really put out.
Well, thank you.
Well, kudos to our writers. They do a great job.
Yeah. Give us the material. Yeah.
So I initially during this draft, I had mixed emotions. You know, I decided to drink very early on, and then I realized that, well, you know, why should I do that? Then I kept on doing it because I said, why not? But... I'm like, are we in the business now of getting people that have serious injuries? Wow. You believe that maybe technology is good enough that now, you know, we can stick a syringe in a knee and then all of a sudden, you know, that Easley guy is going to be, and I hope he's going to be a force and so forth, but it's kind of a huge risk. I'm not really sure what the thought process was, but on the Garoppolo pick, I think now it's official, we have the best looking quarterbacks in the league.
Really?
I started getting tweets early on that he's following in Brady's footsteps, including in looks.
I see.
You don't see it?
No. The way.
I don't think he's as good looking as Brady. No, I don't. I think Brady is an elitely good looking young man.
Well, it'd be funny if he ends up. Is he married? He's not married, is he? Garoppolo?
Brady? Giselle.
No. Garoppolo.
No. Oh, I don't think
he
so.
He actually said he and his four brothers, he's the youngest. We're still living in the same house we grew up in, so. I think it would be a little crowded, a little awkward if he were married at this point.
On the video, it indicated he was number three, wasn't he?
He said he was the youngest.
I was wondering, why are we doing this? But then on the other hand, I was like, if Brady's got another 4 years, and if this pick doesn't pan out, we have another 2 years to pick someone else.
So, yeah, but then it's a bad pick. If you waste a second-round pick on a quarterback, that's bad.
Right. So who should we have taken instead of a quarterback then? You know, I don't know if the tight end was the right situation. I just saw that they signed this tight end that is a basketball player, right?
Which one is he?
Yeah, the 6'8" guy.
Yeah. The article I read was pretty funny. They say if this guy can actually stop being a robot, on
Justin
the team,
Jones,
you know, he's going to be a great find. If not, maybe he can be the offseason basketball coach or something like that. But
he'll be fine on the pickup basketball team where we send Revis and those guys to high schools to raise money. I'm sorry. I'm just not going to buy. You know, I heard somebody yesterday say, nobody drafts tight ends high anymore. You just get them. You know, they're all undrafted like Jimmy Graham. Wait, he went in the third round.
Who said that?
Idiots on the radio. People out there.
Oh,
it's okay. It's okay that when I say these things, I have to come up and cite my sources.
Everybody
right?
thinks
I have like a bibliography. I have to pass in.
There's plenty of tight ends drafted.
Someone
in the
said
top
that
three
you can get a tight
rounds.
End anywhere, like Jimmy
straw
Graham.
Man.
Pretty
straw
much.
Man
yeah.
said it.
No. He really said it. I heard him. I still think you need to draft a tight end if you want to have a tight end that's decent. You don't just roll the dice and say one of these guys that are undrafted will be fine.
Yeah, I think if you're going to be really elite at the position, most likely you're going to have to do like what the Patriots
most
did.
Any position. I feel that
yes!
way.
Yes,
even like an offensive line.
Now
that's the one exception. I think if you want an elite left tackle, you got to draft one up high.
Yeah,
but if you want an elite center, I don't think you have to do what the Dolphins and the Steelers did. And
a lot of people have been doing it lately. Centers have been on the rise in their value.
Nah. Yeah, I agree. Do you guys think that, are we right to pick people with heart problems? Kind of person. I know we're a romantic team and we love heart, but I mean.
We signed him. We didn't waste a pick. We signed him. He'll be fine. It's not the first time. Remember Armin Armstead? We have a history of heart problems.
Well, we tend to overlook these things.
Teddy Bruschi had a heart problem.
We have a deal with Mass General Hospital that will bring in a certain amount of new patients.
You know, as they say in my family, if these people were good, it's the same thing as if you said if my hand had testicles, we'd call it my uncle.
That's Paul's phrase. I used that on the radio on EEI yesterday.
I did read one columnist, I forget who it was, that said, you know, local guy that said there were a lot of teams actually that signed a lot of guys who had medical issues. So we're not the only team.
It happens all the time.
Right.
Well, but are we the only one that drafted him high, drafted him late, and signed him?
So.
All right, Olivier.
All right,
thanks
Olivier.
For the call and the praise.
Thank you.
Thanks, Olivier.
Let's go to Chester in Portland, who's always ready with his call.
What's up, boys?
Unlike
how
me.
You doing?
Go ahead.
Great.
How's everybody holding up after that weekend? You know,
I'm just about recovered.
Yeah, we bounced back.
Yeah, I got to back up, Olivier. You guys did a hell of a job over the weekend, and I'm sure you guys' asses were all kicked at the end there. But you know, it was a good series of shows, guys. Give yourself a little credit. It was good.
Well, thank you, but we don't like to pat ourselves on the back.
Fair. Hey, real quick, shout out to Melvin in Tennessee. Just want to congratulate him. He just graduated with his doctorate in physical therapy from State. So,
Well,
really.
Congratulations, Melvin.
We talk about the smart listeners on the show, and I think our boy Melvin leads the pack there.
PhD in physical therapy. Good luck paying those loans off.
Anyway, just wanted the nation to hear that. But feeling real good about this team's mindset with this draft. I know I talked to you guys over the weekend, but you know, for me, I'm in this for the long haul as a fan, not just for this Belichick Brady era like some of our fans are. I mean, we got to look ahead at some point. Garoppolo, I don't know if you guys saw the picture I tweeted you, but man, that kid looks like the morph of Chris with a TIN and Andy in terms of those two pictures.
I did. I showed Andy. Eric showed Andy the picture. Good call there.
The Conan, if they made it, situation. But anyway, all jokes aside, you know, I feel like there's definitely some
weapons
in place.
Christian's with Andy's mom, so
she's definitely his number one fan at this point.
all right.
I gotta say, in regards to Mallett, I think it would be suicidal to let this kid go at this point. Garoppolo, it needs some time to groom. I mean, it would be just foolish. I mean, if something happens to Brady, I mean, then what? You know, I mean, just everybody's got to pump the brakes.
Well, hang on 1 second. I gotta just ask you this one question. Did you feel that same way with Brian Hoyer?
I did. Absolutely.
You did? Okay. I just want to make sure you're consistent, because he was a rookie and he backed up Brady and there was no one behind him.
Yeah.
And he wasn't drafted.
I think age is really playing into my thinking here. I mean, God, you know, something happens to TB and we're really screwed in that respect. You got to have somebody know the playbook, and I just feel like now it's that insurance policy for this year, and who knows beyond that. But, guys, as far as Garoppolo goes, am I the only guy that's intrigued by all this history with Tom Martinez? I feel like there's some similar wiring there, and I'm wondering how that's going to translate to his aptitude in learning this playbook and grooming under a guy like Brady. You know, you think about intangible stuff, and to me there's definitely some intrigue.
Chester, that's reason 10,000 to love this kid. There's a lot of reasons
really
to really like Garoppolo.
That's got me bought in. I mean, I really feel like there is a certain mental aptitude that you have to have to translate into the league, and I feel like there could be some serious chemistry there. But we'll see. Time will tell. It's so early to go there. But, you know, that has me hanging on to some hope to really separate him from some other candidates out there in terms of this draft goes. But, man, lastly, I just want to say I'm glad we added this Houston kid at running back. I mean, he's probably going to be a practice squad guy. But, you know, I asked you guys if we were going to get a truck, and we ended up getting a big guy there. who knows, but, you know, I know we had an eye on him pre-draft, and I'm feeling good about that, but I just want to leave you, see if you guys have any thoughts on this kid, and if you think that he'll be any asset to us later on in the stretch of the year, you know, perhaps if we do need that bigger guy there. But that's all I got. You guys have a great day.
All right. Thanks, Chester.
Steven Houston, 230-pound running back out of Indiana, I believe.
Yes. I thought it was somebody out of Houston.
I don't know much about him. I'm not going to.
But you
this
know,
isn't the part where I play the guy on the real radio shows that talks for the next minute bio. And a half, tries to read his bio and pretend I've seen him play a lot.
Yeah.
I haven't.
I don't know anything about him, but I will say, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, Brandon Bolden, you have a history, and there's an opening there. You know, they didn't sign Michael Bush. Yep. You know, they lost LeGarrette Blount. There could be an opening for a bigger back, depending on how they create the backfield with Devlin. Maybe Devlin's the bigger back, and maybe he is the backup or something.
Or I could see a guy like this replacing a guy like Bolden.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, because I would think White's probably pretty good.
Yes.
You know, I don't want to say lock, but pretty close to
but
a lock.
But Devlin, Vereen, White, and Ridley, that's four backs already.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, yeah, I think Bolden's done. I think Bolden has done nothing. He's lived off one good game he had 2 years ago.
And he's always
gotten in trouble
in and out
a
of
lot.
The doghouse.
Yeah, he's got a Spikesian like in and out of the doghouse or a little something here, a little something there. I think he's done. Now, whether that's done and there's not a replacement or done and Steve Houston or whatever his name is replaces him,
right.
I'd like
forget,
to at least see him play.
Don't forget about Garoppolo. Same agent as Tom Brady.
Yep. Do you know Josh Boyce does too? I actually didn't know that until I opened some document today to cut and paste, and it had Boyce, who's represented by Lee Dubin, blah, blah, blah.
This team's loaded for bear.
I have a question.
Yep.
Are you back to that? By far and away the best team?
No. He's been back to that since day two of the draft, when he said it's okay to take because you didn't need players that could help you now.
But then he backtracked.
He always backtracks. But
you held his feet to the fire, and he backtracked.
And he's staying on the fire. He said this team is the odds-on favorite to win the Super Bowl. They're the best team in football. They didn't need to add any talent in the second round.
Did you want this or no?
I never said that.
You're saying it now.
I said they're among the top four teams in the league. Absolutely.
Okay.
Great groundbreaking news. You know, where they finished last year, among the top four teams in the league.
Right, and now they're adding to the mix. So, you know.
For 2015.
It's only going to be better.
Okay. Now let me ask you this.
Yeah.
We talked about, you know, one positive you could pull is that Belichick drafting the QB of the future, maybe that's an indication he'll be here in the future. You know, not these romantic stories of him and Brady just driving off into the sunset,
right.
Thelma and Louise style off a cliff. And my question is, do you have any interest in that? As a fan/media person, is there a part of you that really wants to know what Belichick without Brady will look like? Does a part of you want to answer, who do I give the credit to?
Of course.
Me too.
Yeah.
They poo-pooed that on the radio yesterday.
Yeah, I know
what happens.
Now that
when
you say it, I remember. I think I did hear that segment, and I'm with you.
I want to know.
As a fan, you want to know.
Only if it comes out my way.
You know, that's why we love all these articles with lists and everything.
Right.
We like to have an order to things.
Everybody except Mike Mayock wants to have a number one. He had five tied for one.
Right.
He's fine with that.
I find the cliched, tired, like, barroom sports arguments that people make fun of, I find most of them fascinating.
Yeah, thank God for them.
And you could get
three years
out of it, maybe. Like, say Brady stays for four, Belichick stays for three with Garoppolo. At least you're going to have some indication. It's not going to be a cut and dry, right, wrong, whatever, but you'll have something.
And I like discussing things that are sort of, you don't just look at the scoreboard and find out who won to see who's right. Like, a little bit more nuanced than that. You know, like, you look at personnel and some decisions and stuff.
Garoppolo is a Super Bowl title, does that say you're right about Belichick being legit, the god?
If Garoppolo...
There's no doubt about that now. The question is, how much of a god is he with or without Brady?
No, my question is, if he just flat out year two of the Garoppolo era, they roll through the season, go to the Super Bowl, win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that.
That's a pretty good stamp on Belichick's greatness.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Conversely, if they go 2-14.
There's the doubt.
Then you go.
He couldn't do it without Brady.
Brady was getting it done.
Right. What does Garoppolo having that kind of success do for Brady?
Right.
Does that affect you at all with Brady?
Right, well, so now you need to see Brady do it with another team.
But then I need to get into what he's doing.
Brady'd be 100 by that
But
time.
What is he doing? you know, it'll hurt him.
See, this is what I'm talking about. It's more nuanced. You can't just sit there and say, well, they won, so that means this.
No, right? I know, but if Garoppolo comes in,
that's why, that's the kind
and
of
he has a 100 passer rating and he throws 38 touchdowns, only 9 picks,
right.
It's one answer. But what if he comes in and throws 22 touchdowns with 12 picks, but they have a really good defense, they have a, you know, a running back who helps them.
2001.
Yeah.
Right.
Then it's a little more of, it's just Belichick. He's found all these ways to do it with various talent, various
That's why football's such a great game. There's so many variables.
Well, it's like life. You get knocked down, you pick your ass up. Have you seen that new Netflix commercial?
I don't know what he's talking about.
Have you seen the new Netflix commercial where the coach is in the locker room?
Yeah.
And he goes, we've all seen the movie. You know the one about the football team?
And they're like, yeah.
With the coach. And that stuff he says, that got you going, didn't it? Well, that's what I'm saying. Now get out there. It's very good.
I haven't seen it.
Dan from Hamburg writes in, have you guys recently seen Mallett's back? I wouldn't be surprised if there's a big bullseye across his ass. If not, it might be bandaged as a result of the attempts.
I saw his back, and now we're talking about his ass.
It might be bandaged as a result of the attempts to kick him out of Boston. I can understand why so many people try to get rid of him. His movements let Brady look like Emmett Smith in his prime, but I feel kind of sorry for that guy. On the other hand, I would like to see us grab a future draft pick from Houston. The dream would be a first or second rounder, but to be more realistic, anything better than a fifth or sixth rounder would be huge.
From Mallett?
Yeah.
You're not getting a first-round pick from Mallett, from anybody.
I think the most you'd get is like a conditional seventh or something. Like,
no.
I don't think you're going to get anything.
You're not going to get much for him.
Why would they give you a fourth? They just drafted a guy in the fourth. So they have a fourth-round value quarterback.
You should jump for joy if you get the value
anything.
Of his pick. If you
oh, there's no
round,
shot in hell.
If
that's
you
a
get
coup.
A third rounder, you should be jumping.
Paul,
for
that's
joy.
One of those military style coup d'état. I mean, there's no chance of that. No chance in hell. I will say, last night he was doing some serious grilling. Did you see him tweeting?
I did.
Shrimp,
that
lobster,
really
steak.
Who?
Mallett.
Really?
And he's like about to throw on something
now,
else, and
did,
I was like, I'm about to come over. Like,
the first tweet was just done with 18. Now I took that as to mean he just got finished golfing. Now maybe it wasn't.
Might have been a girl.
No, for God's sake.
Oh, wow.
See now.
He really...
Wait, that's legal. He's only like 20.
Yeah, but why would that be the first thing that comes to your mind? Just
sex.
Got done with 18.
You're not getting enough
so
of it.
So I'm
huh?
thinking, no, I'm here fine. He is, like, he spent the whole weekend.
Is anybody ever getting enough of it?
How though? Much he knows or whatever, who knows?
Not Eric.
But he spent the whole weekend in the crosshairs of Patriots fans in this debate of whether or not he's out on his way out of town. They drafted Brady's replacement, let alone his replacement. He's going into the last year. I don't worry about it. I'm golfing, and I got this grill going. I found it funny.
And it looked really good. Like, he literally was high. It was high-class surf and turf he was getting done.
Nice.
On a charcoal grill, too, it looked
high-class surf and turf.
Well, you know how some places try to sell you on a surf and turf?
Red
and
lobster.
Like,
yeah.
It's. I mean, this looked good. Shrimp and lobster and everything. This looked legit.
No disrespect if that's a sponsor.
Red lobster sucks.
Yeah, no, it's terrible.
Red lobster is just...
I've never eaten at one because I don't like seafood, but
it's awful.
That's the reaction that you get from people.
That happened to me yesterday on EEI. We were talking about insurance, and I go, insurance is the biggest scam. All insurance. And I go, are there any insurance companies that are major sponsors? Should I stop talking?
Like
and Holly just nods his head.
Toby from New York, I thought our most important needs were safety, tight end, and linebacker.
Rich Pilch.
Yeah. What's your opinion on why Bill ignored those positions in the draft, tight end, linebacker, safeties? Secondly, Colin Coward and his so-called expert guests have been proclaiming for some time that Mallett is the best backup in the league. I'm a little skeptical. After all, he also thought Zach Zutfeld was coming, the second coming of Gronk.
Well,
is Coward just spewing out his normal BS, or does the rest of the league see something that we don't?
BS.
No,
absolute BS.
I find it funny that anybody could make a comment like that about a guy who hadn't played.
Yeah.
Now, if there's a guy, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick would just bring up because he's with Houston. If someone said that he's the best backup in the league, I don't think that's true. But if someone said that he was, at least you're basing it on, I've seen this guy play. He can step in and play.
Right. He might be if he weren't the starter.
Right. But I think he's too...
No, as
to be
starter,
a backup,
he's the best backup.
He's too mistake-prone to be a good backup, if that makes any sense.
Yeah,
unless he sort of changed the way he played.
Michael Manawanui might be the best third tight end in football if he weren't our number one tight end.
He's not the number one
Max in New Hampshire
Gronkowski.
Writes in...
Tyler Beck or whatever that guy's
Rob
name
Gronkowski.
Is.
Rob Gronkowski.
Asa.
Asa Beck? Asa Watson?
Asa Watson.
Asa Watson.
His heart's just not in it.
Stop. That's not.
Are you going to beat that?
No, I seriously have this vision, like, and I know it's stupid, but he gets into a preseason game and he's playing with Mallett or Garoppolo and it's first and 10 at the 20 and Watson over the middle. Oh, he puts one move on the safety and he's going down the, and he's taking a knee at about the 30. I don't know what happened because his heart got racing too fast.
Well, he uses Beats by Dre.
What is he doing a deal with?
$3.2 billion from Apple.
And for what? They're buying Beats?
That's a good question. I think he scammed Apple. Is what?
Really?
Well, Beats.
So Beats just needed money to pay for his new $40 million mansion.
Beats has its own streaming service, but from
so
what
does
I,
iTunes.
From what I understand, it only has 111,000 subscribers, as compared to like. Will you stop? Oh my! You're unbelievable. You're an animal.
Can you be a professional and just do radio?
No, I can't. Because
they don't need to know what's going on in the studio.
He is
Andy,
hear it.
While I'm talking, Andy's looking at me and literally lifting his leg and just letting it go.
He lifted his whole body in the last one. I think he had a convulsion.
Anyway.
It's his animal.
All right, enough of Dr. Max in New Hampshire, do you guys ever feel like Bill Belichick finds out who everyone in the league predicts he will pick? And then purposefully tries to find off-the-radar picks just to stick it to everyone.
No.
According to a lot of people this time, everybody had him tied to Easley.
The first two picks, the Easley pick was, I'm not going to say it was as common as that guy tried to make it out to sound, but there were people picking him.
Yep, show me the mock draft that had Easley.
NEPD Loico.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
He had him.
Oh, I didn't
he did, and so did your boy Jerry Thornton.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what
he knows. By the way, I happened to hear Saturday afternoon on EEI when I was driving home, and I was telling Andy, it was like he spent the whole show as a victory lap. It was like, you
now,
know,
did he
in
take
case
a
you missed
lap?
It, I, this is who I predicted they were going to take.
Because, yeah, don't worry about Ridley's backup. It'll be no Sean Marino, right? Except for the fact that he's not. Yes, he did.
No, but he
months ago.
But he didn't say that.
So now it's
Saturday.
Where did he go? Miami? Does he have to get cut by Miami before he can become Ridley's backup? Is that how smart this guy is? Stick to being funny. You might get better at it.
This guy, it's okay that when he gets one prediction right. He's allowed to.
And Rob Rang, our guy, had Garoppolo.
A lot of people had Garoppolo in their second round mocks to the Patriots.
Or Garoppolo. Paul tells me that's how some people say it.
Having said that, I'm okay with the draft overall, but is it okay for me to be actually more excited for a couple of undrafted free agents? This Travis Hawkins kid out of Delaware with 4.37 40 and a couple of kickoff run backs for touchdowns looks really exciting. And Justin Jones, a 6'8 tight end with a 37-inch vertical and benches over 400 pounds. Yes, please. Do these guys have a legitimate shot at the team, or
no,
are they just camp bodies?
They're camp bodies who have a legitimate shot at
yes,
the team.
Exactly.
Because every year a couple undrafted players
right,
make the team.
Right.
I cannot tell you which
sometimes
one of them
seven,
will.
I'm not going to dismiss.
Right, sometimes one, you know, sometimes
I'm not
going
to dismiss these guys because Belichick has showed us that he's going to keep some of them.
But most of them will
or
be the camp fodder that we think they are. Most of them will be Jags. Most of them will be washed out. A couple of them, and I would generally say oftentimes, you can see pretty early on, oh, that guy's actually not that bad.
Because what Bill does.
And then he gets reps, and then you're like, oh,
Bill
this guy's
does
got
right
a
off
chance.
The go, is you can start to watch, and you're like, hey, why is that 92 in with Will Fork and Kelly and all those
right,
other guys?
Right.
And you're like, oh.
Oh,
okay.
That's Joe Villano. He's
okay,
going to make the team.
Yeah. Last year, Villano was one of those guys that.
The only person who thought he was going to make the team before that was the guy who told us he was going to.
Oh,
some guy from Maryland.
Well,
speaking of jersey numbers,
starting lineup.
If anyone cares, wants to
they
order their Garoppolo jersey now, he's number 10.
Number 10?
Yes.
Because he wore 10 in college. Who else wore 10 in college?
Chad Pennington.
Oh, I was going to go Tom Brady, but.
Oh, okay.
He did, right?
Yeah, he did.
And then someone asked him, the significance of the number, and he said, well, it's what they gave me.
But it was his college number.
Yeah, but it also was what they gave him. He didn't
at
ask
college,
specifically
right,
for it, he said.
I think they generally would give, you know, you got to have some starting point,
right,
so if the number the guy wore is available, give it to him.
Right. Marco from Houston, I find it a little ironic that in a recent Ask PFW, Eric tells the emailers to have the decency to give the young players drafted a chance to prove themselves before we render a verdict, kind of like he did with Tavon Wilson.
I did.
No.
Hold on. Before you even read any more of this idiot's email,
okay,
I spent the rest of those draft shows saying, I'm willing to give him a chance. Go back and listen to the tape, you effing moron.
Oh,
he brought out effing. It's a big one.
Wow. Okay.
I hate when people misquote like that.
137 of the edition.
I recall at the time him saying, this is not Tavon Wilson's fault.
Exactly.
It's Bill Belichick's
fault.
By the way,
you're going to make comments.
It's not the player's fault.
Inform yourself before you make idiotic comments.
Who'd have
like
thunk that you would get an ally?
I'm objective.
We ally sometimes.
By the way, I can tell you that nobody here in Houston, fans or sports
writers. He's closer to me than he is the Australian lady from L.A.
I'll read that again. By the way, I can tell you that nobody here in Houston, fans or sports writers, think much of Mallett, and they do not want any part of him.
Nobody likes Mallett except.
Nobody likes him very much.
No, I think he's been fine, like, as a guy.
I think, when I
evaluate his talents, sorry.
Listen, I haven't seen anything on the field, and I'm just not sure why a guy who has not been on the field would be so attractive to somebody else.
Now, as a griller, I'm intrigued. He's got a good little spread he's putting on you.
Alex and Philly.
First round pick as a griller.
This was a very, very disappointing draft.
All
the good.
That's a very, very good job.
All the goodwill Bill the GM had built from the free agency signings was washed away by another draft where we did not address the team's overall biggest need, playmaking. We drafted no playmakers.
Well, that's not true. Dominic Easley's a playmaker, if he can get on the field. He is a playmaker. He is about as good as a playmaker at defensive tackle as you could ask for.
And he helps others make plays, too, according to Bill Belichick.
Yes, a lot of what he does doesn't only show up in stats.
With insightful questions.
Okay. No playmakers, just developmental guys who will make good depth and probably play a lot of special teams.
Well, that's just not true.
I don't hate Garoppolo, but I would have much rather seen a guy who would help us this year.
Me too.
Fred, you're wrong. We are not the best team in the NFL. Seattle and Denver still have way more playmakers on their roster than we do.
San Francisco.
Come playoff time, this team's deficiency in guys who can make plays
Carolina.
Gets exposed, and we didn't solve that issue in the draft. Hopefully Fred is right about guys coming off injuries being back to form, because Revis aside, I don't see any improvement in our pass rush, safety play, or on offense in Bill We Trust, I guess.
Will Smith?
I love those in Bill We Trust.
Do you think Will Smith is better than Andre Carter?
Yes.
Okay. So you've improved under your philosophy. I'm not sure I agree with that. I don't know where the ACL's at.
And also, I was
a little concerned that it's not right.
Right.
Bill mentioned that over the weekend.
Also, a lot of pressure on the new doctor, huh?
Yeah.
Get all these injured guys out there.
The Smith and Carter comparison, I think a lot of people weren't expecting the production that they got out of Carter
the first time around.
Right. So are you comparing him to that time or this?
No, I meant last year Carter.
Oh, last year Carter.
Oh, I meant last year as the third guy in.
I was comparing last year, but Eric actually brings up a roundabout good point.
And that was a roundabout compliment,
right,
I think.
No, it wasn't a backhanded compliment because you were talking about Carter the first time around. Yeah.
Right.
But even I don't know what Smith is now either.
Mm.
And I'm probably thinking of Smith more in terms of what he was. Now he's another year older, coming off a whole year of inactivity with a serious knee injury. Maybe Andy might be right. Maybe he's not any better than Andre Carter.
James in New York, I guess it's a deep draft when your seventh-round pick will have as much impact as your second round this year. I don't feel better about any position other than interior O-line, but to be honest, I couldn't have felt much worse about that unit before. I would be okay with future drafting if there weren't such obvious holes in the team right now. I would rather win one more with Brady and suck for 3 or 4 years after than hover around mediocrity with a deep young team and no quarterback. Sorry, but Jimmy Garfunkel is not winning us anything.
Jimmy Garfunkel.
Yeah, well, you don't know.
Which,
you don't know from Garfunkel.
Right.
I want each of you to give me three veterans who were on the team last year who will be cut this year.
Ooh.
That's a great question that I'm not prepared to answer.
Three veterans on the team last year who will be cut this year.
Does Brandon Bolden count for one?
Yeah, he's a veteran on the team last year.
We made a pretty good
case. Okay,
I'll make a pretty good case for him.
Bolden.
He's one.
I think that's a solid one. I think one of the O-linemen.
Beckett count?
Technically, not really.
He does, but in the spirit of the game, he doesn't.
Does Tompkins count?
I would absolutely...
Yes.
Wow, that counts, and Jake Beckett doesn't?
Well,
Tompkins played a lot.
I would definitely agree with your...
It's not in the spirit of the game.
I
was trying to push people off the roster.
That line right there, I agree with. It's not in the spirit of the game, Jake Beckett. Tompkins, I don't really think is in the spirit of the game either. But
I think one of the linemen, either Wendell or Conley, is out.
I was thinking Conley.
Conley's got a chance.
But Stork,
although
guard, is Jalapia going to play?
Although
Jalapino.
Although I think, actually, I think Connolly's a better center than a guard, and I think he's also a better center than Wendell.
But he's also costly.
He is.
$4 million, right?
But I'd rather have the better player. I'm not as worried about
Stork,
the...
Huh?
I like Stork a lot. I think Stork's going to be a very good player. I don't know if he can play guard. Maybe
I like him
thought
too.
He was all right.
I think he could play guard the way he gets off the ball and mauls.
Well, luckily Fleming says he can play any position. He's never even tried center, but give him a ball, he'll be fine.
Well, this it's okay. If Stork says I'm a ball player,
cocky SOB.
I excel at the board. I'm a ball player,
and he's and also one of
that
those.
That didn't bother him at all.
He was the best right tackle in the draft. His strength is his strength. He's just
does he go to the ballpark?
I don't
when
care
he comes
for
to,
him. I don't care for practice.
Yeah, I don't know.
Got to be somebody defensively, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to think like some defensive.
You brought in two veteran corners.
Yeah, maybe I don't know. Maybe a guy. I don't know. They're all young.
What about?
Though.
No, they can't.
Arrington?
I was going to say.
No.
Tommy Kelly?
No.
Because if he's still gimpy and maybe doesn't show you much, I mean, I'd be
but
stunned.
Then he's on PUP. You've got till week six before you do it.
I'd be really surprised if he's cut.
I would be too. I'd PUP, be I wouldn't. Cut, no, yes.
But I think he's a candidate.
Well, they're all candidates except Brady and Gronk. Why is everybody looking at everybody else?
Chris in Hamilton, Ontario.
I'm not going to cut Edelman.
Listening to you guys is hilarious. True. Eric, keep teaching them to be sophisticated. I know
Squidward.
I knew you guys have an issue with tanking it, but realistically, if you have 2 years and know the next phenom QB is coming to the first overall pick in 2017, I would be okay with the Patriots tanking one season after winning so many in a row to have a continuing dynasty. Keep in mind, once the Patriots do it, there will be some rule to stop it as usual. Well, Polian's
only after the Patriots do it.
And actually, when the Patriots do it, you want there to be a rule to stop it.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it'll benefit
thing.
The Patriots.
He said it as
that's,
a bad thing.
That's when they'll put the rule in.
It's also not a continuing dynasty, technically. If you if you go 0-16, if you're tanking.
Well, if it's under Belichick, though?
It's the start of a new dynasty.
I would think it's the same dynasty.
It's a Brady. No, it can't be.
Why can't it be?
I think as long as Belichick's still at the helm, it's still the same dynasty.
So you don't
it's
think
a resurrected, a renaissance dynasty.
Brian says, how long do you think it's going to take for Fred to get a look at the new QB's junk?
You're right.
I don't do such things.
Much.
Unless they put it on the internet.
And then you're the first person to...
Maybe I'm being racist here or something, but I feel pretty confident he's not. Based on what Eric just said, he's a deer in headlights. I don't think he'll be putting his junk on.
Oh, I didn't necessarily say deer in headlights, but just
wide-eyed, whatever.
Yeah, he was kind of like just...
Doesn't a deer in headlights have wide eyes?
And that's how he came across.
Yeah, but not that way.
No further questions.
Not in the same way.
He came across at the combine like Eric is describing. Not like overwhelmed, but...
Well, he's a small-town boy.
You know, short of overwhelmed, but certainly not comfortable.
Yeah,
because he probably hasn't been like that.
Largest crowd that Zach Moore has ever seen is about 7,000.
That's a pretty good crowd.
No, I thought you meant at the media horde today.
Pretty close.
For a Division II game, that's a pretty good crowd.
Well, you know, Concordia St. Paul, they draw. Those
is
other
Concordia.
Was
supposed to write Concordia St. Paul. St. Paul.
Yeah.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Mikey Vandalism's on the phone. Hey, Mikey.
Fellas, I'm in a foul, wretched, nasty attitude today.
Why? I just can't take you serious since you've gone through puberty.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Your voice has definitely changed.
Definitely did.
Holy cats. Well, listen, this is my rant.
Holy what?
I think cats. The Patriots fans are being super ungrateful. They don't appreciate what we got in the draft. Realistically, what do you expect to get later on in the first round? You're not going to get a top five talent. You're going to get a guy that's going to
Well, they did.
That's what we're being sold on. They got a top five talent if you didn't have two ACLs.
And I made the joke. I think it should even be worse than that. It's not even a top five. They should have just had a posting fee. This guy was too special for the draft. It would have been like Dice K, highest bidder.
Easily is a freak. You guys are going to
There you go.
He's an elite pass rusher.
Elite pass rusher. With eight career sacks.
You got to be excited about him. You got to get riled up for him.
I'm excited.
We already got another QB for the future. The guy's a top second-round pick, and he fell to us. I love Garoppolo. He was a huge Garoppolo guy. When the Patriots got him, I was doing cartwheels.
You and me.
I feel like not enough people are excited about this draft. We got some excellent depth to O-line that we needed. And realistically, we're going to go in with Brady's weapons, looking at Dobson. We got Boyce. See what these guys have. You see, it's too early to just turn the page on 1 year in.
Oh, yeah.
Well, no, nobody's turning the page on him.
I think a lot of our emailers are very disappointed.
In?
I think
the draft.
A lot of fans don't like him.
Wait, are we talking about this year's draft or last year's draft?
This year's draft.
Last year's draft.
I think our emailers are talking about this year's
draft. No, but I think people are very expectatious of Aaron Dobson.
Very asininically, I might add.
Don't you think? And people are concerned that he's in a walking boot and had foot surgery and that that might stunt his growth. But I think people have high hopes for him, don't they? All I've heard is Alshon Jeffrey, Alshon Jeffrey, Alshon Jeffrey.
I've heard the Alshon Jeffrey thing 4 million times.
Mikey, can you hear that rumbling?
I don't know what rumbling you're talking about.
Oh, okay, forget it.
And it's not Andy's tummy.
No.
Also, another point I wanted to bring up. As you can see, all these corners are signing these monster deals. They're almost quarterback-like money.
Yep.
What are the odds the Patriots are going to be able to bring back Revis? I think that with every contract signed, the bigger those contracts get, the more
I think it's long odds, but I'm not worrying about that right now.
I'm not sure it's long.
I think it is.
Well, I think it's
I think there's a chance.
Remote. Yeah.
I just think with the cap going up and maybe he decides he likes it here, I don't think it's out of the question.
Yeah.
Well, out of the question would imply impossible.
Yeah, I think there is a...
I don't think it's impossible.
30% chance they can re-sign Darrell Revis.
Yeah, I don't think it's that high.
Would you say 70-30 are long odds?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I don't even think it's that high.
And I think it could grow as the season goes on. He likes it here. They win. He makes... You know, all that kind of stuff.
So. You got to bring a guy like that back if you can.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but if he asked for...
I think it can really spoil your season if you keep thinking about that. I also think the better it goes, it might even be lessening the chances of him coming back.
Well, if you win the Super Bowl.
I think the better it goes, the more success the team and he has, I think if they win the Super Bowl, okay, I did that. Now I'm going to see if I can
Plus,
really
you got Ty Law telling him his one mistake was not doing more to stay with the Patriots. I just think there's a chance. I'm saying there's a chance.
I agree. There is a chance.
You don't really think Ty Law believes that, do you?
I don't know.
Yeah.
And Paul, we pick and choose when we align ourselves.
No, I'm just saying. All that matters is how the player feels in the moment.
You know Ty Law pretty well. Do you think he regrets taking the most money?
No.
Knowing Ty Law?
No.
And I think that's what Revis. That's how Revis is wired, in my opinion.
Thanks, Mikey, for the call.
And I don't. By the way, I don't mean that as a negative toward Revis. These guys don't play that long.
You know I'm a money-hungry grub. These I just don't have anybody willing to pay me any money.
Right. These guys don't play that long, and I don't ever hold it against them when they decide to try to get as much as they can.
Unlike you, I can't turn down TV appearances willy-nilly.
I couldn't do it last night.
Why?
Because I didn't want to.
Paul's just turning down TV now, Fred.
Fred, we got a guest on the board there. You want to go to it? Down the bottom?
Okay. Let's go to Daniel Verdin, who wrote a book, believe it or not, about Jimmy Garoppolo. Hey, Dan.
That's not what it says there.
Hi, guys. How are you doing today?
Good. Now, Dan, introduce yourself, because obviously our listeners have never met you before, and why are you calling?
Well, the book that I wrote is actually on Eastern Illinois, which is, of course, where Jimmy Garoppolo comes from. I had a book come out about a year ago about Northern Illinois football, so... I'm calling in, I guess, about Jimmy Garoppolo.
So next up, Southern for you?
The Salukis next?
Salukis are on the list, yeah.
Now, explain to us, because one thing we brought up, and we obviously don't know a ton about, you know, the entire career of Garoppolo at Eastern Illinois, but you look, and he had 45 starts, 23-22 record. Tell us how that unfolded. He wasn't simply just a 500 quarterback when you take the whole career as a package, was he?
No, one thing people should know is this guy didn't play quarterback till his junior year of high school. He was a linebacker prior to that, and he, therefore, you know, it helped a school like Eastern to get him because he wasn't that highly recruited. In fact, I think Eastern Illinois was the only offer he had. He went into a situation where he started about 4 years into his freshman year as a true freshman, and the team was struggling. I mean, they struggled for 2 years, but the thing is, Jimmy got better each year, and going into his junior year, they brought in a guy named Dino Babers, who had been an assistant down under Art Briles at Baylor. And they put the Baylor offense in, and, you know, things kind of took off from there.
So, you know, knowing Garoppolo the way you do, how do you project him into the NFL? Are you one of these people that think that he's absolutely going to be able to adapt quickly? Or do you think it's going to take, quite a while before he, if he ever gets, you know, NFL ready?
Well, first of all, as you guys know, he's sitting behind a future Hall of Famer in Tom Brady, so it's not like he's going to just jump in front of him. But, you know, I think he's in a good situation that, you know, he can learn under Tom Brady and develop. You know, is he going to turn out to be a guy like a Kurt Warner or a Joe Flacco or a Steve McNair from a smaller school? You know, who really knows? I mean, there's the world is littered with Gino Carmazzis, who, as you guys probably remember, was one of the guys taken ahead of Brady back in 2000. But the things about Jimmy are, you know, he's got an incredibly quick release. His feet are, you know, people just rave about his footwear. Urban Meyer was watching some film of a game that Eastern played in the opener against San Diego State, who happened to be Ohio State's opponent the next weekend, and Meyer just raved about him, especially his footwork and his release.
So now we know why Bill drafted him. Urban Meyer was
Urban
raving
Meyer.
About him.
Yeah, that's a good piece to the puzzle right there. I was curious, Daniel, your thoughts about the offense that he ran. You said that it was Art Briles, you know, Baylor attack. Do you know, or what are your feelings on how that might be able to translate to the NFL?
Well, you know, that's a point that's been brought up by a lot of people. Now, his first 2 years in college, he played in, you know, basically an NFL pro set. When the Art Briles Baylor offense came in under Dino Babers, obviously that was mostly out of the shotgun, and it featured multiple receivers and so forth. The thing I think it may have helped him with is his decision-making. You know, Kurt Warner oftentimes talked about how playing in the Arena League, having to make those quick split, you know, split-second decisions helped him. But again, you know, it's a mystery to everybody, you know. But again, you know, you got a Kurt Warner, you got a Gino Carmazzi. My guess is Garoppolo is somewhere in between.
Okay. Now, the book that you wrote, Eastern Illinois, why did you write that?
Well, Eastern's got a pretty good history. You may have heard of a few of their previous graduates, a guy named Mike Shanahan, Sean Payton, Tony Romo, Mike Heimerdinger, who was a longtime NFL offensive coordinator. So, you know, in these parts, it's been a pretty successful program. And, you know, around here, Northwestern and the University of Illinois get a lot of attention. So, like I said, 2 years ago I wrote a book on the Northern Illinois Huskies. Now it was Eastern's turn.
So I would assume that that book is available on Amazon?
It will be out in August, actually. One of the things we were waiting on was to see where Jimmy winded up being drafted. And just for the sake of knowledge for your listeners, him being picked 62nd overall was the highest pick in Eastern Illinois history. The previous pick was a guy named Chris Watson, who was picked 67th overall back in 99 by Denver.
Okay. All right. So any parting thoughts for Garoppolo? I mean,
anything you might be able to tell us about Jimmy,
yeah.
You know, maybe even off the field, that
well, I'll tell
some
you,
people might not know.
You're getting a really great human being. And the thing is, Jimmy got better because he worked every year. He was willing to, you know, take the coaching, take the advice, go in and do the reps. You know, if he ends up ultimately not performing in the NFL, it won't be due to lack of effort.
Now, some people that were you know, just saw him for the first time live, said he looks taller than 6'2". Is he, or is he a strict 6'2"?
Well, like any school, you know, I think Eastern listed him anywhere from 6'3 to 6'4". I know when they brought him in for the combine, he was 6'2 and some change. So
okay.
I would say he's closer to 6'3 than 6'2".
Okay. All right, that makes sense.
I think
combine,
he goes about 220.
Yeah, in the combine, pretty much, you should go by what the combine, because they measure to the eighth of an inch.
Right.
So pretty much whatever they get you at the combine is what you are. He's right. It was closer, like a little bit more than 6'2", so closer to 6'3".
Okay. All right. All right. Well, Dan, we appreciate you calling in with your insight. You know him a lot better than we do, but eventually we're going to get to know this guy pretty well. So, Dan Verdon, what's the name of the book, in case anyone's looking for it?
Oh, it's a very catchy title. Eastern Illinois Panthers football.
There you go. Eastern Illinois Panthers football.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks for your
Dan.
Time.
Thanks
Dwight.
For the call, Dan. I just thought that was interesting to have someone who kind of followed his career call in and get
that was
a
the worst interview we've ever had.
No, it wasn't. I think that was a nugget that we
No, got. I blame us. We were ill prepared. Well, we didn't have any questions. It came off awkwardly. So why'd you write the book?
Well, yeah, why would you write a book about Eastern Illinois football?
We blew that, and I apologize to Dan. We're normally mildly, slightly more professional than that.
We're a little bit more entertaining
but,
than we
but
were.
But I thought it was an interesting nugget that Urban Meyer...
I did, too. That was very good.
You know,
I'm not sure it's good, a good
probably
thing.
Passed along some of that insight.
He got the nod from Meyer. Just quick news update. Did you see the Joe Hayden signed an extension with the Browns. 5 years, $68 million, $45 million guaranteed. And Patrick Peterson retweeted it and with, you know, those little eyeballs you can do.
Right, yeah.
Patrick Peterson is like, on the record, I'm breaking the bank on whatever these people sign, I'm getting more. Very fascinating cornerback market that's unfolding in light of the discussion.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Remember when there was the rule of 50%, Paul?
Yep.
What happened to the rule of 50%? He gets $46 million in the first 3 years.
Okay.
That's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money.
Cornerback. He's not a quarterback.
Guaranteed?
Well, 45 guaranteed, 46 and 3. Did you hear that?
That was like that post-lunch, you know, and the first quarter earnings.
Sorry, I forgot to turn the mic
lunches,
off.
Those business lunches, you know.
Everyone well, it is a bad idea to mix food and drink and
talking.
Public speaking.
It is.
We do it every single week.
We have to, though. What
it's part of our
eat?
Charm. It's why we're so good, according to all the listeners.
Too bad we're coming to the end of the show.
Mike
from University of Illinois, Champaign. You four are the best.
It's like how the long University of Illinois.
How long do you keep a backup quarterback? Isn't it kind of unfair to draft a quarterback and keep him on the bench for 8 years? Mallett should go somewhere where he has a chance to start in the NFL. No.
Yes, he will next year.
Does Easley, like Sunday morning, remind you of John Randall? They are the same height and weight.
Yes, that was the comparison being made the second the pick was made. John Randall being bandied about.
I'm glad the
Hall of Famer, right?
He's
I don't know.
That kind of a player. Yeah, disruptive interior defensive.
And he also likes to paint his face.
Does he?
No, but he's quirky. He has the Chucky doll thing,
right.
And he likes to send out like shots of himself with no shirt on and selfies, and he's a little off.
I'm glad the Patriots will finally bring pressure up the middle. I've been waiting to see Peyton sack before he completes his dropback. Peyton is great at ducking the outside rush and stepping up in the pocket and hitting receivers and extending drives. No more. Everyone has been saying for years the way to beat Brady is pressure up the middle, but I submit that all quarterbacks are rattled by immediate pressure up the middle.
Yes.
Yep.
I also think this just popped in. That if he's on the practice field, will be interesting. I could see Brady getting pissy if Easley is shooting through the A-gap and in his mug and Brady throwing the ball down and yelling at the fat cows in front of him and all that. He could get pissy.
Oh, yeah.
He could. All right, well, that's going to do it for this
edition.
No,
one more hour.
Progress. We got 2 more hours coming on Thursday. So we'll see you then. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for lunch.
This is a great time of year.
Thank you, Michelle.
Tons of things to talk about.
And ripping
I'm sure
Eric.
The Patriots are not done with their moves.
Nurses all gathered round, and they gazed in wide wonder at the joy they had found. The head nurse spoke up, said, "Leave this one alone." She could tell right away that I was bad to the bone. Bad to the bone. Bad to the bone.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.